NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. U.S. officials say the American troops in Haiti will have limited duties and fighting won't be one of them. Secretary of State Colin Powell says they'll be trying to keep the peace now that Haiti's president has gone into exile.
The nature of the presence will shift from combat troops increasingly to police monitors, gendarmerie, those sorts of international forces present to help the Haitian people and not combat forces of the kind that would be engaging in direct combat.
Rebel forces have now entered the Haitian capital. Super Tuesday could be a super day for John Kerry. Polls suggest he'll do well in tomorrow's key contest, but the numbers show John Edwards a factor in three states. A bond hearing is set for tomorrow for a Virginia man accused of dragging another man beneath his SUV for more than 8 miles. Josul Galdino's lawyer says his client is devastated. Galdino's accused of manslaughter, hit and run, and driving while intoxicated. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Are you ready for a shopping spree? Then shop the days away during the final days of the new JCPenney shopping spree. It's our best shopping spree ever. Save 30, 40, even 50% off regular prices throughout the store. So don't miss 30, 40, even 50% off the best spring looks for men, women, kids, and your home. Hurry in now for the final days of the new JCPenney shopping spree.
It's all inside.
JCPenney.
Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Feelings March 2nd.
Natalie Wood became a star by age 12, a teen idol in Rebel Without a Cause, and a legend in West Side Story. She was nominated for 3 Oscars and dated Hollywood's leading men.
I'm Robert Wagner.
The only thing more famous than her life is the mystery of her death.
Actress Natalie Wood was found dead today in the Pacific.
ABC presents a world premiere movie event, The Mystery of Natalie Wood, tonight at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 47 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Key Bank. The tug of war over evidence at Kobe Bryant's pre-trial hearings continues. Bruce Morton reports from Eagle.
The defense wants its team of experts to examine 2 pair of panties worn by the accuser. This morning, Judge Terry Ruckriegel granted Bryant's lawyers their wish to have the entire crotch area of those panties turned over for testing. The prosecution had allowed the defense to test split samples of the underwear at a Colorado Bureau of Investigation lab. Under the judge's ruling, the defense analysts will be able to examine the panties' entire crotch area at their lab in California. Bruce Morton, Eagle, Colorado.
I-70 between E-470 and Kansas remains closed. Colorado Department of Transportation says it hopes to have the highway open by 1 o'clock this afternoon. Hundreds of cars and trucks have been stranded on I-70 due to extreme blizzard conditions overnight. While most of the snow has stopped, crews continue to plow the wet snow. However, heavy winds have slowed that process. CDOT says the worst conditions between Lyman and Burlington could take a little longer to open completely. Another Democrat says he wants Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell's job. Rhett Bridges, a former software entrepreneur and think tank founder, has thrown his hat in the ring, saying he will protect Colorado's working families. Bridges says he's against partisan politics and that what's needed are new jobs, fixed roads, better education for children, and affordable health care. 4 other Democrats have already entered that race. Another street race has taken the life of a teenage driver. The Colorado State Patrol says a 17-year-old died after losing control of his vehicle on I-25 near 104th Avenue Friday night. They say Alejandro Melendez was racing his Mitsubishi Eclipse against a Chevy Corvette around 11:30 p.m. All 3 teens in Melendez's car were ejected. The CSP says none of them were wearing seatbelts. Melendez was killed after hitting the street and then being run over by another vehicle. The passengers, 16-year-old Ricardo Melendez and 15-year-old Fabiola Melendez, who are brother and sister, are cousins of Alejandro. They were both treated at hospitals with Fabiola in serious condition. The driver of the Corvette hasn't been found, but police would like to talk to that person. Colorado State Patrol trying to determine the identity of a woman who was wearing all black and crossing the highway at I-70 and Highway 58 in Wheat Ridge. There's no lighting, no intersection, and no crosswalk at that place she tried to cross. The car's driver is not going to be charged in that incident. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche play host to the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight at the Pepsi Center. Avs beat the Lightning in overtime in January when they last met. Avs have been having a tough time lately with only 1 win in their last 7 games. A free Key business checking account can increase the mileage of your bottom line. Visit your local Key Center today for details. Balance requirements and transaction limits apply. Key Bank, achieve anything. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Congrats to former Bronco quarterback and one of Denver's own, John Elway, for his election into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Ready? Break.
We are proud of you. Congrats from the staff at AM 1150 KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Vetcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Props performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Annie Akio Myers joins the Colorado Symphony Orchestra for a performance of Barber's Violin Concerto, led by Peter Ungen on March 5th, 6th, and 7th. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Super's Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Vista Ridge and northbound I-25 at Dry Creek's quickly getting better. They only have one lane closed now. Everything else is open. Still going to see some slowing through there as the damage has already been done. Southbound I-25 through the tech center also slow. People trying to get a look at what was left of that particular accident. Vista Ridge, a great new family community, now offers everything from great condominiums to single-family to custom homes. Just 20 minutes north of downtown on the web at VistaRidge.net. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Enid Goldstein next on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The winds will be a bit uncomfortable, but will slowly taper as we head through the afternoon and into the evening, and it will not be as windy tonight. Sunshine in and out of the clouds with highs in the low 40s, lows tonight in the upper teens. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, a breezy day with a high around 44, and we have another chance for some spotty snow showers on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
47 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday Post Academy Award edition of Enid Live and Post Washington, D.C. edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And I have lots of stories to tell about Washington, D.C., including a visit to the Spy Museum, which was really interesting. With me live in studio is Judy Schwartz of Judy and Evelinda, Style Matters, the show that airs 10 to noon on Saturdays here on AM 1150 KNRC. And they also write a style column in the style section called Style Matters for the Rocky Mountain News, and that column runs on Thursdays.
Right.
And you guys, Evelinda could not be here today.
Yes, unfortunately, she is filming, you know, out of the country. Isn't that what they always say when they can't accept their awards?
Or creative.
She'd love to be here, but she's shooting out of the country.
Who did she shoot? And what happened after she shot him?
No, we always do a post Style Matters column, post Oscar Style Matters column.
I saw it in the paper today.
Right, which isn't right. And we had a tough time to doing the column this time because
why?
Everybody looked great. I think we're putting ourselves out of business. Us and the fashion critics like poor Joan Rivers, who looks like she's wearing a kabuki mask now. She has so much plastic surgery.
She looks like she's standing in a wind tunnel.
Yeah, she sort of looks like Zsa Zsa Gabor. She's looking more and more like Zsa Zsa Gabor. But, I mean, we're putting ourselves out of business because everybody's taken heed and they look wonderful.
Yeah, let me just tell you where I was yesterday. I was in an airplane for the beginning of it. I was flying back from Washington, D.C., and I asked the flight attendant, could they please show the Academy Awards? And they said it's all pre-recorded. They weren't going to show the, but they were showing Master and Commander. Was one of the films that you could see in a little tiny little monitor on the seat back ahead of you. And so I started to watch Master and Commander, but it just didn't do, watching it on a 6-inch screen
it's
like that.
It's not the same.
It's not the same, and there was a lot of you know, sword fights and all kinds of effects and everything, and not much of a story that I could see, and so I got bored and went back to my mystery that I was reading on the plane. So by the time I landed, it was about, by the time I got home, it was about 7:30, and I tuned in, and here was my impression. My impression was that it was actually kind of fun. Billy Crystal's always great.
It was wonderful.
Like it moved more quickly. I saw that the executive producer was Joe Roth, who was used to be a big studio executive. And the gowns I saw looked like they were very tasteful and terrific. And then I got dressed real quick and I went over to the Denver Film Society Academy Award sanctioned party at Rise nightclub and went there and didn't know anybody and scarfed down some paella and came home. So I missed things in between. But my overall impression was that it moved quickly, it was funny, it didn't lag, and nobody made any serious gaffes, but they did have that 5-minute delay.
Yeah.
What was your impression?
No, it's true. They got it together, and I'm disappointed. I'm one of the few people, I think, I like the fact that it takes a long time. I don't want them to hurry up. I'm sharing all of this with the celebrities, and I like that it's long and unwieldy. I appreciate that.
Me too, and I like that it's spontaneous and it's kind of embarrassing.
I love all that. And now, you know, I mean, it used to be you could depend on a Laura Flynn Boyle to look ridiculous. A Gina Davis always took risks and fell on her face. Now, the only
Cher.
Cher.
What about Bjork and that bird she
well,
wore?
Well, Style Matters gives the Bjork Award now. We give the Swan Award in deference to, remember, she wore that dead bird around her neck a few broadcasts ago.
Yeah, we're with PETA.
This year we gave it to Uma Thurman. Did you see what she was wearing?
No,
I don't know. It was some kind of Heidi on steroids kind of, I don't know what it was. It was ridiculous. She got that. And then, of course, Diane Keaton. Poor Diane. She poor dear. She was having a senior moment. She thought she was up for Annie Hall again. Right?
I'm going to defend Diane Keaton. Here, when I did go to the Academy Awards, I walked in right behind. I was supposed to have a ticket in the 8th balcony where oxygen comes with your seat. But I decided to forget that, and I walked in right behind Diane Keaton when she was an item with Al Pacino. And here she is, a woman who's crowding 60. What's she going to do? She's got to do something that's got some style and some moment. I mean, if she wore a regular gown, wouldn't she look like, you know, in Geezerland?
But you finally saw her body in Something's Gotta Give. Remember that scene where she's going out to dinner and she looks so fantastic in that dress?
But she doesn't like to show her body. She always wears these things like a moat. Her dressing is moat dressing.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know.
You didn't like it?
No, I didn't like it. But, I mean, to me...
You don't think it said something or it makes a statement about her quirkiness?
Yeah, and it was too much. You know, it's like, I'm quirky. Everybody knows I'm quirky, so I'm going to do the expected quirky thing. And, you know, there was no surprise there.
If you were dressing her, what would you put her in?
I would have put her in something like what Catherine Zeta-Jones was wearing. I mean, I would have put her in the exact opposite of what people would have expected. Something extremely feminine and frou-frou and all of that.
And saddle shoes.
Yeah. Gloves. She could have kept her signature gloves and worn gloves up to her
elbows.
Why did
she? She got arthritis, or why is she wearing these
gloves? I don't
know
what that's her statement.
I mean, between Michael Jackson's mask and her gloves, they look like 9/11 is standing
by. And you know what else I noticed? I didn't see so many painfully thin actresses this year. There were a lot of voluptuous women. I mean, Renee Zellweger, I don't know whether she's still on the downside of her Bridget weight gain for the second Bridget Diary movie. She looked very voluptuous. Catherine Zeta-Jones has meat on her bones. I mean, a lot of women, I thought they, you know, were beyond that sort of Lara Flynn Boyle's anorexic, scary look. I think these women really look like women.
Were there any surprises for you, Judy Schwartz?
For what?
The Academy Awards this year?
Yeah, wonderful surprises. I was so glad Lost in Translation hardly won for anything.
Hey, let me ask you about that. Everybody who has seen, I've seen the trailers, and the trailers look so boring to me that I could not get myself to go to the film. Everybody who has seen it that I know who's seen it says it's a boring film.
I don't get it. And why this Sofia Coppola? Why she even won for anything? It is a small movie. It's the kind of movie that you could see on an airplane screen and get the whole story.
In the first 6 minutes.
It doesn't matter that it's a small screen because it's a small movie. It had no business being nominated for whatever it was nominated for.
Is it a sentimental nomination because of her father? I mean, think of his...
Are you sentimental about her father?
I think Godfather is some of the finest filmmaking
I've
seen.
But it's densely
done, and compared to Godfather, that she won any kind of an Academy Award means that the Academy Award has been so devalued, or we're so dumb now that we don't know the difference.
The movie had no business being nominated for anything, as far as I was concerned. On our show last Saturday, we had Steve Rosen, who's the former movie critic from the Denver Post, and he said, well, Bill Murray should really win for Best Actor because I said, well, Bill Murray was playing Bill Murray. Yes, but he brought some melancholy to the role that's highly unusual. I'm sorry. I didn't buy that. I was so happy Sean Penn won.
Oh, Sean Penn's marvelous.
Yeah, he was so gentlemanly about it. And I love the way he thanked his wife. And I was really thrilled.
What else were surprises? You know that, what's her name, Joan Rivers, the cosmetic surgery queen, her daughter was wearing these expensive Jimmy shoes.
I saw that.
And the heel broke. You can really kill yourself on
yeah.
those things.
Yeah. I thought their
really,
show...
Like a zillion dollars a pair of shoes?
And then she just gave it away? She gave the broken shoe away to a fan? The fan's like holding on to like $200-$300 worth of a shoe.
Well, where can you wear one shoe?
I don't know. I thought that was ridiculous. Unless she probably borrowed them.
You think?
Yeah.
No.
Now, tell you who's... there's a few actresses whose look I'm getting sick of. All right? Mm-hmm. Charlize Theron. I'm sick of the little skimpy, sequin, pale dress. I'm ready for a change. Okay?
What would you have put her in?
Something flashy and bright and more covered up. You know, I know the men don't like to hear this, but I'm just sick of seeing so much of her body. All right? I'm sick of Nicole Kidman. She needs a new look.
Nicole Kidman is not very attractive, as far as I can see. I don't
think
she's
very
pretty. Why do they think she's so gorgeous?
Evelinda thinks she's gorgeous. To me, she's just blah.
Well, not even blah. She's, like, not attractive, as far as I can see. She doesn't have good features. She's a wonderful actor. There's no question about that. I saw her in The Hours, and I thought she really did a great job in that film.
Right.
And I was never fond of her before that, so I think she's a pretty decent actor. But her clothes never look that great, and I don't like her hair, and she's not that pretty.
I have to agree. I'm tired of the look. I'm tired. The whole thing. I agree with you. Whereas I thought Catherine Zeta-Jones was just outstanding.
She's kind of a throwback to those old film goddesses.
She was
and
outstanding.
Those
who else did I love? Liv Tyler. Did you see her?
Yeah. And you know who else looked great? I saw, and it was Sandra Bullock when she was on with John Travolta.
Yeah.
And I thought she looked sensational. She was gorgeous. The gown was simple and elegant.
And she was wearing white, which is a new trend that we saw this year at the Oscars. Lots of women were wearing white gowns. Angelina Jolie, if you could keep your eye off all her tattoos, she looked lovely in a white satin
gown.
She's
got to lose those tattoos.
Oh, please. Julie Andrews was wearing white. She looked so lovely and sophisticated. White is really the hot color, and it's seasonless now.
It's hard to wear white, though. Not every complexion can wear white.
Well, you know, we interviewed one of these stylists on our show, Philip Block, on Saturday, and he said they all wear body makeup now. They all put on self-tanners. If you could see Charlize Theron, she was wearing a very pale dress. She looked very tan to me.
Oh, so then the body makeup gets on
yes.
the white dress.
Well,
you and
know.
Then it's got all smudges
hey,
on it.
They didn't buy it. They're just borrowing it.
Here's what most people don't realize. In order for the Academy Awards to air at about 9 o'clock, I think they start 9 o'clock on the East Coast, that means that they air at 6 o'clock on the West Coast. And some of these pre-Oscar things start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So you have got people getting dressed up in their fanciest finery and made up and everything at noon or 11 o'clock in the morning to make their entrance. And people don't realize it's the middle of the afternoon in Los Angeles. So the whole thing has a somewhat surreal quality to it if you're actually there. And I have been there.
Yeah, I'd love to go sometime. You know, and I understand it's surreal and they have to get dressed early, but, you know, too bad.
Oh, yeah, but it's just weird to be dressed like that
at 3 o'clock
in the afternoon or at noon.
I started watching E at 10.
It's
you
like
know?
Drinking.
I don't
it's like
miss
watching
anything.
TV or too early in the day or having a drink at 9
yeah.
o'clock in the morning. It's got that feel to it. But I almost went. Here's the story. I didn't get started on getting credentialed till way too late. And I love Los Angeles. Here's what they tell you. They don't ever tell you yes, but they don't like to tell you no either. So what they tell you is... Well, you know, there's a shot here, so, you know, we kept pushing it. And the person who was the point person trying to do this said, as late as Friday, he said, it's a 95% no. They always leave that door open for 5%. And I said, can I be one of the sitters? Here's what people don't know. As soon as someone goes up and gets an award, that leaves an empty seat. The camera, this is a program about film, but it is made completely for television. So what happens is they don't want to see any empty seats, and they have squadrons of women sitters, maybe men too, but I know women for sure, who are sitters. And as soon as somebody goes up to accept an award, a sitter scoots right in and sits in that seat so that you never see an empty seat. So I said, can I be a sitter?
I mean, the weird. So what you wanted to actually get into the theater or just be on the red carpet?
Both, because I think it's so juicy. When you're on the red carpet and you see people arriving, here's what happened. I was staying at the Beverly Wilshire. And I just wanted to get a taxi over, and I came with a KRON TV camera crew, and that was KRON TV San Francisco, and at that time, Cron was NBC's largest affiliate. And I begged for a ticket, and it was a lot easier then. I think now with the security and terrorism and everything else, it's very, they do background checks. They wanted to know everything about me, really, including the state of my pancreas, honest to God, everything, whatever, you know, x-rays, they wanted it all. They do apparently run background checks. But at that time, it was a lot looser, and I said I'd be happy if they could give me a ticket between Hedda and Luella, if that's all they had. Well, Hedda and Luella, gossip columnists, have been dead for decades. And that's about where the ticket was, too, somewhere up there in the 87th balcony. And as I said, I walked in right behind Diane Keaton and Al Pacino, and nobody stopped me. And I sat down at the first empty seat I could find, and that was next to Kris Kristofferson. So he was, you know, kind of, you know, mumbling in my ear the whole time, giving me the scoop on things. And if I was going into my purse for some gum or some candy, he wanted some, too. And behind me was the San Francisco delegation. Francis Coppola was there from San Francisco. Bill Graham, now the late Bill Graham, who was the big rock and roll concert promoter, was also there. So there was a whole delegation. And Danny Thomas, who was then alive, barely, was sitting behind me, and he could not hear. So he sounds, you know, with everything that was going on, he'd say, huh, what? What'd he say? What'd he say? It was like my Uncle Sal in my ear. Wah, wah.
But, I mean, now, why was he there? I mean, do you get to go, if you're a member of the Academy, do you just get to go if you want to go? Or do you have to be there for a reason, if you're connected with a film that's nominated?
I don't know. I think they're very tight because the CODA, I think the Shrine Auditorium, which is one place, when I went, it was at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, and I think the Shrine was undergoing some kind of renovation. But I think that the Kodak Theater may not seat as many people. I'm not sure now. And so they're very, very tight. I don't know what it takes to get into the actual ceremonies. Now, if you're a member of the press, you don't even go to the actual ceremonies. If you get credentialed as press, I think you get to be on the red carpet for a little bit, and then you go directly to the interview rooms. And they had, at the time that I went, they had interview rooms for TV press, radio press, print press. And the same stupid questions would be asked, and as soon as somebody wins an award, the drill at that time was they would go right back into the press rooms, and the interviews would start because everybody's on a deadline. So it's a different story now. I would have gone, I think, at this point, to the ceremony itself and just watched it up close. And what you don't see when they cut to commercial breaks on television, at the time that I saw it, there would be tuxedoed squadrons of stagehands who come out with brooms, and they sweep the stage, and they get the sets ready for the next number, all in front of the audience. You know,
they
don't
even
make. What
are they sweeping off? People go up there are littering. What do they throw when they're done with their speech? They just throw it on the ground.
They might have been confetti or something in one of the. I forget what they. But it does. They don't even pretend to be doing this show for the audience. It is all for television. So it's it's a lot of fun. And the stereotypes you see the stereotypes of the 3 foot tall actor or producer with a statuesque 7 foot tall showgirl, you know, falling out of her dress. You see stars who are women stars who never are with men of their equal usually. They're usually accompanied by handlers, by managers, by guys who have dandruff on their dinner jackets. It's a real odd scene.
I mean, I found that surprising because somebody like Nicole Kidman was not there with a date. Angelina Jolie said she was there by herself. I mean, some of these beautiful, beautiful actresses, no dates.
Well, when they cut to Clint Eastwood, it looked to me like he was there with his mother.
Yeah, who was that woman?
I'm guessing that was his mom. I didn't see his wife.
He doesn't look so good, does he?
Well, did you see the pictures of him in the tabloids?
No.
They got him in a bathing suit, and he's got these varicose veins that look like kangaroos jumping out of his skin. I mean, wow.
Yeah, no, he didn't look so good. I was very surprised to see how many of these gorgeous actresses cannot get a date. But what are you going to do?
Who are they going to go with? Who is there?
And where was Penelope Cruz?
Where was she?
I didn't see her.
Well.
You know,
well.
He looked great, by the way.
What is he
looked wonderful.
He's very short, though, isn't he?
Yeah, really short. And let's dish. Did Susan Sarandon not have something done? Come on.
I did not see her. Did
oh
she?
My God, she was right in the front row, falling out of a dress as usual. I think she looks fantastic.
She does.
Yeah, she looks 10 years younger.
Now here's what a great cinematographer once said. He has photographed all of these women, and when they have had work done, he says it's never, you know, some of them look really great. They can light them in a certain way, and they look good in print photography, or they look good in motion picture photography, but he says it's never right. Now, do you agree with that?
What do you mean it's never right?
He just says that it's something that is never right. When they've had cosmetic surgery, they never look right after that. And he has photographed all the top stars.
Well, I mean, I think it's true when it comes to Meg Ryan. She doesn't look right anymore, does she?
No, wait a minute. Who's the one who's married to Antonio? Oh, that's...
what's her name? Melanie Griffith. Well, she
doesn't even
right
look
here.
Human. She needs wheelbarrows for her lips. She's got so much collagen in them.
I'll tell you who I think has something else done. She doesn't look right, but she looks good. Jennifer Lange.
Really?
Jessica Lange.
Is she still with Sam Shepard?
I don't know.
He's really hunky. I used to see him at the Safeway in Milwaukee.
But, you know, I missed a lot of... You know,
I took a playwriting class with him.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of people who weren't there that you could, you know, you could usually count on for big fashion faux pas, like Gina Davis. You know, she always looks ridiculous. She wasn't there. I missed her. Cameron Diaz always looks a mess. You know, she's never really put together. That's always fun. You know, I mean, everybody was so put together. It was kind of disappointing.
Well, what does this say about the Oscars? That it's just becoming every day? Is it becoming tasteful to watch?
I think so. I think these actresses have to take more fashion risks.
My guest is Judy Schwartz of Style Matters. You can listen to Style Matters noon, 10 to noon on Saturday mornings on AM 1150 KNRC. And also read her column with Evelinda Ehrman. It appears Thursdays in the Rocky Mountain News. We'll be taking your questions if you haven't, or comments if you watch the Academy Awards. I'd love to hear from you because I only saw part of it. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Or Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Fucking just get you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Yesterday, a woman asked me if Beaujolais goes with pork tenderloin. Excuse me, what? Like I can stop and think about pairing wine with food while I've got a house to sell.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage knows your buyer could be anywhere. That's why we're everywhere. So relax. Our global network will market your home worldwide. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
With all of our busy lifestyles, eating a balanced, healthy diet can be difficult. Multivitamins and dietary supplements can help with essential vitamins and minerals that you may be missing. Walgreens has a large selection of vitamins, supplements, beverages, and energy bars, all from brands you trust, all priced right. So join Walgreens in celebrating National Nutrition Month during March by keeping yourself and your family healthy. Walgreens, the pharmacy America trusts.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS&H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado. Talk to Judy and Evelinda on Style Matters.
Zell Bündchen.
Right. Is it Bündchen? Is that how you pronounce her name?
That's how I'm pronouncing it. Bündchen, okay. With the two little dots,
yeah.
Over the U. That's probably the original size of her boobs before surgery. Okay. Pamela Anderson.
Wait a minute. Let me digress a minute. Speaking of fake, I don't know if hers are fake or not, but Heidi Klum.
They're all fake.
The Victoria's Secret model. You and I went to Victoria's Secret this week to do a story, and there's a picture of her I've never seen.
You can see the implant.
It was the ugliest thing we'd ever seen.
Style Matters, Saturdays at 10 a.m. on AM 1150 KNRC. With the resources of NBC, CNN, News 4, and AP, along with local reporters on the ground.
I need it. It's there.
Stay in touch with what's happening in Denver and the Front Range with Dick Kelsey Mornings and Tim McLaughlin Afternoons, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:29 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking Academy Awards. Did you watch them last night? My guest, Judy Schwartz of Style Matters, of Judy and Evelinda. You hear them 10 to noon on Saturday mornings here on AM 1150 KNRC. You read their columns in the Rocky Mountain News. It appears on Thursday in the Thursday edition, typically, although there was a special edition today, dishing on the Academy Awards. If you have questions, if you have comments you want to make, if you want to dish, please, 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150.
And help us out, because we were scraping the bottom of the dish, because there was not that much to dish about.
Well, because it was so tasteful.
It was so tasteful. No, we couldn't mention
Julia. You didn't have Michael Moore on, who said these things that he said last year?
I mean, we could talk about Julia Roberts' roots.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, really dark roots. I don't know what that was about. She looked terrible.
She couldn't afford to get to the hairdresser before the Academy Awards?
She usually looks so fantastic.
I've heard not good things about her. People who've worked with her, there was always a lot of film production, feature film production that occurred in the Bay Area. And people who worked with her always said that she was very, you know, temper tantrums and that kind of thing.
She looked washed out. Everything was the same shade. Her hair is blonde. She's blonde again. Skin tone, the dress, everything seemed to be sort of the same shade on camera. And she just didn't look good to me.
Spare that curly stuff. I don't think it works on her. She could have done something better with her hair.
Well, if Evelinda were here, she would say, for this kind of special occasion at the Oscars, you should wear your hair up. But that is not what we saw. I mean, the trend we saw was, first of all, this straight hair, this Japanese straight thermal conditioning hair that's been so hot for the last few years. It might still be hot in Denver, but it is over in Hollywood. You didn't see anybody with stick straight hair. Everybody's wearing their hair long with these sort of gentle curls.
I'll tell you what I see happening. I see happening a more feminization of fashion coming up.
Definitely.
I see the colors are more pastel-y. There's something about rounded curves.
Yes,
and that's what I see happening.
I agree with you.
And I think it mirrors something in the culture, too, which I haven't thought about what it is. I want to talk about, first of all, I want to give kudos to Bob Dinnerstein, because he is the film critic of the Rocky Mountain News, and he pretty much, I think he called just about every single winner on the show last week.
In all deference to Bob, this was a pretty easy one. This was a pretty easy year
to call.
Right? I think, yeah. Because Lord of the Rings, it was such a clean sweep, 11 out of 11 categories.
I want to say something. I was just in Washington, D.C. at an industry event. And one of the events was Peter Jennings, who came up from New York to interview Senator John McCain. And of course, now that Howard Stern has been pulled off of a bunch of Clear Channel stations, that was a hot topic. And McCain, of course, has something to do with all of that stuff, with the FCC and so on. So the question of indecency was a very big question that got covered in that particular interview. And everybody made the observation that a cultural moment had occurred with Janet Jackson and the whole brahaha, whatever you want, her exposed right boob, her, you know, on the boob tube and so on. And in a way, her performance at the Super Bowl had an effect on the Academy Awards in that, since Congress is looking at matters of indecency and since the FCC is, they did a delay, a 5-minute delay, which is amazing, because in radio, I think, what have we got, 7 or 8 minutes?
No, seven or eight seconds.
I'm sorry, 8 seconds, 8-second delay, which is plenty. But there was a 5-minute delay,
which to me is so long. What do they need 5 minutes for?
I don't know, but there was a 5-minute delay, and everybody was trying to be very, play by the rules more tasteful, not too controversial. And if someone did say something controversial, we don't know about it. We'll hear about it in case they make it public. But if something got cut, we don't know about it.
Well, you know, I turned to E! At one point, and they were interviewing Tim Robbins, who won Best Supporting Actor for his work in Mystic River, and they tried to get him going on politics. You know, first they said, how do you feel? You know, was it a good role? Blah, blah, blah. And he talked about that. And then a reporter said, well, how do you feel about the chances that it looks like Bush might be our president again? I mean, they were trying to get...
They were baiting him.
They were absolutely baiting him. And he said, all I can say is people vote, express yourself, get involved in the system. He gave a very neutral, unthreatening response.
Do you know why that is?
No.
He took a huge hit when he came out against Bush, against the war, and the right wing came down so hard on him. It may have had some professional repercussions for him.
Because I don't see him as somebody who's easily cowed. I don't see him or Susan Sarandon as being someone who is easily cowed.
Well, maybe they said if you are associated with this Academy event, keep your mouth shut about politics. Is there, you think that might have been possible?
No.
I could see that scenario happening before he got in, that he was going to be very neutral because he was there in a professional capacity, not speaking as much as a private citizen.
Maybe. It's possible.
I think he was intimidated. That's what it sounds like to me, although I did not see that part of it. Let's go to the phones and to Sharon, calling from Denver. Hi, Sharon. You're live with Judy Schwartz and
Hi.
Enid Goldstein.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Sharon.
You know, I didn't watch the Academy Awards last night. I never watched that stuff because it's boring. But I was flicking through the channels, and I came across E! Or one of those shows with Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, that's E!
She looks fabulous.
She does, doesn't she?
You know what? We were speculating on how she lost that weight. We think it's the cocaine diet, but we don't know for sure.
I thought maybe it was 60 pounds of liposuction.
No, although she probably needs something done after losing, what is it, 69 pounds?
That's what she said.
How'd she say she lost
it? I mean,
it's
a lot of saggy skin.
She didn't say.
No, she's on that Trim Fit or whatever it is. She's pushing some product.
Nobody believes this. Everybody believes that it's something worse
but
than
darling,
that.
But, darling, those are not hers. You know
her
that.
Her face looks great, too.
Yeah, but those are not hers.
Those what? Those things there?
Yeah, those things there are not hers.
They're no, what, she's renting them?
She's gone on the record as saying they're not hers.
They're not hers.
Right.
She's going to need a wheelbarrow to carry them around if she gets any skinnier. All right, Sharon, anything else?
No, I just think she's had some face work done, though, too. She just looks fabulous.
She does. I agree with you.
Even in the face.
In the face. That's true. Well, how come she doesn't have any saggy skin in the face?
Well, she's not that old. I think she's only about 37.
Yeah, but she was packing on a lot of weight.
Yeah, she...
I mean, she really had, she was going, where was she getting her clothes at? Omar's, the tent maker. Thank you, Sharon, 303-382-1150. So overall, everybody expected that what, Robin Williams and Billy Crudup, that Robin Williams would say something.
Yeah, what he did, he touched his nipple, but he didn't do anything. He put his arm around Billy Crystal and both of them standing up in their tuxedos. He then said, we look like the topping for a San Francisco wedding cake. But even he sort of kept himself under control. It was very, it was very controlled. It was very tasteful. Overall, I found it disappointing.
Really? You were looking for that louche moment?
Yes.
Was there anything that was stellar for you other than seeing that people really did actually look pretty good?
No. I have to say, for me, one of the highlights was Liv Tyler in that fantastic, she was wearing a vintage, I think, Givenchy. And it was all black. She was one of the few to wear black. Did you notice that black, which used to be standard color, is right. now out? So she really stood out in her black. And it was fantastic. She had that black, like, choker around her neck. And her hair was in this side sweep. Do you remember this? Did you see her?
I did not see that part.
She was so
elegant. I saw
pictures
of her later, but I didn't see her
and
when she came on.
They brought her. She was announcing the nominees for Best Song. And then she puts on these fantastic black spectacles to read the names of the nominees. And it was just wow. She was just wow. That was the highlight for me.
Judy Schwartz, thank you so much for coming in today. We know we can rely on your wonderful eye to give us the real scoop on the Academy Awards.
It was a pleasure. And then, I think I'm going to just watch E! Over again,
Judy Schwartz, you can listen to Judy and Evelinda Saturday mornings 10 to noon on AM 1150 KNRC right here and read their column in the Rocky Mountain News. It appears on Thursdays. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 12:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Ina. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 45 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Albertsons. Interstate 70 from E-470 to Kansas is still closed because of extreme blizzard conditions last night. Hundreds of cars and trucks have been stranded along that stretch of highway. Most of the snow has stopped, but heavy winds have slowed the process of plowing the roads. CDOT hopes to have at least part of the highway open by 1 o'clock. Pretrial hearings for the Kobe Bryant rape trial continue in Eagle today. Judge Terry Ruckriegel has ruled that the defense can examine two pair of underwear from Bryant's accuser. The prosecutors had previously allowed the defense to study parts of the underwear at the Colorado Bureau of Investigation. Now, Bryant's lawyers can have the evidence examined by experts in California. The pretrial hearing continues through tomorrow. Former software entrepreneur and think tank founder Rutt Bridges says he wants Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell's job. Bridges becomes the fifth Democrat to throw his hat in the ring to challenge the two-term incumbent. Monday is Cheap Chicken Day at Albertsons. 8 mouth-watering pieces of fresh rye chicken, only $3.99. Cheap Chicken Day Mondays at Albertsons, helping make your life easier. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:39.
Get your side, get their side. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Computers talk in a strange language to us. Then again, so do computer techies. It's hard to find someone who will understand your computer needs. That's why when you're looking for solutions to your computer problems, you're looking for datatarget.com. At datatarget.com, you'll find people who target your computer needs in plain English. They'll cater to your problems relating to Microsoft Windows, installation upgrades, email, networking, internet, security, whether it's a business need or personal. You'll find datatarget.com makes the problem easy to solve. datatarget.com will be there at your business or home to help rid the frustration of trying to resolve it by yourself or spending hours on the phone with a tech guy who can't even talk. DataTarget.com is affordable, and best of all, your first consultation is absolutely free. DataTarget.com. Call 877-856-1206. That's 877-856-1206. Or log on to www.datatarget.com.
KNRC News Time is 12:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by your local RE/MAX office. And just updating your top story, everything is now open on I-70 from here to Kansas. So good news, they finally got all those drifts out of the way. In town, eastbound I-70 at 270 an accident, as well as southbound I-25 at I-70. When you're looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results, RE/MAX. There's a RE/MAX real estate office near you, so call them today. RE/MAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Doug Kellett afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Dear smokers, my name's Megan, and I'm here to ask you to stop smoking. My daddy used to smoke. He was always promising to quit. He finally did. But then it was too late. He had cancer, and now he's dead. I'm only 10 years old, and I miss my dad. He was my best friend, and now he's gone.
If you're ready to quit smoking, we can help. We're the makers of Smoke Away, a product clinically tested and proven to eliminate your cravings and have you smoke-free in just 7 days. It's all natural and nicotine-free, and best of all, it's guaranteed to work or your money back. Call us today. Thousands have already quit using Smoke Away. Shouldn't you?
Please quit smoking.
Call now for your risk-free trial. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704. Money back if you aren't cigarette-free in just 7 days. Call toll-free. 1-800-219-2704. That's 1-800-219-2704.
As important to Denver as the Rocky Mountains, if we do say so ourselves. AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC. To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:42 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and just back from Washington, D.C. I came in late last night and just in time to watch some of the Academy Awards and to go to the Denver Film Society party that it was at Rise Nightclub. We gave away tickets for that. People were all dressed up, and the food was, I came at the end, so there wasn't a lot of food left, but I had some. I scarfed down some food, and Tom Botello, who is one of the honchos of the Denver Film Society, I ran into him as I arrived, and I told him that I had been to the Oscars, and he asked me a question. I thought I was losing my mind. He said, "Where were the Oscars held when you went?" And he said, "Was it at the Shrine Theater, the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion?" I could not, for the life of me, remember. So I had to go back to my piece that I wrote for the San Francisco Chronicle Examiner Sunday magazine about going to the Oscars, and I'll share some of it with you, but it was at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, so I called his office today. He probably thinks I'm nuts, A, because I couldn't remember, and B, because when I do remember, I called his office to tell him that I remembered. But let me share some of this with you. The piece is called Best Performance by an Elevator Shoe by Enid Goldstein. In order to know what the Academy Awards are like, you have to know what Beverly Hills is like. To the San Francisco eye, it is a city built almost entirely on cash flow, a town where people making $1 million a year making $1 million a year feel beleaguered, a town about which it can be said, aquí se habla Prada, a town of perfect bodies and marginal minds, a town where the chief mode of transportation is the definite maybe. Against this antithesis of Ozzy and Harrietdom unfolds a tale of lifted eyes, waxed legs, and foregone conclusions. In short, the Academy Awards. I have gained entree to this hallowed sanctum by accompanying a KRON-TV news crew. But even for press, access to the auditorium is limited. In order to observe concealed surgical scars firsthand, I have written promising to be grateful for any seat they can provide, quote, even if it is wedged somewhere between Luella Parsons and Hedda Hopper, poor dears, end quote. After a decent interval, a ticket arrives. The story begins 2 days before the awards at Nudie's, a well-known Western shop in the Valley. And I think it might be out of business by now, but it was then a big deal. That's where you got all your cowboy stuff, custom-made. You know, Elvis got custom-made stuff at Nudie's. Spying some fancy cowboy boots, I asked the clerk how much they cost. What kind of a car do you drive? He answers. I just want to know the price of the boots, I reply. And I want to know what kind of car you drive. I drive a Cutlass, I said. Then you can't afford these boots, he chortles as he walks away. As I am checking into the Beverly Wilshire, I ask the desk clerk whether my room is in the old wing or the new. You, he said, are in the Wilshire wing. I see, I smile politely. Is that the old wing? That is, smiles the clerk, the original wing. I assume that's the old wing then, yes? The clerk lowers his voice, looks around furtively, and confides. We're not allowed to say old wing. Although it is a sunny day, the Brown Derby, which now is out of business, but then was still thriving, though barely. The Brown Derby is as dark inside as a movie theater. Famous for being famous and for a kind of sludge known as Cobb salad, this morning it is serving what the menu calls champagne brunch. As I refuse this champagne, the theatrical modulated voice next to me sticks out his glass. Well, if she won't have it, I will, he declares. I send my eyes around to look. The voice is mellifluous, an old actor's voice on an old actor. Thank you so much, he gushes twice. Not at all, I reply. Just then, a tourist in an Instamatic frenzy begins snapping away at the aging blonde in the corner. Hidden under that thick veneer of Ginger Rogers' makeup is Ginger Rogers herself. The actor is not impressed. Why didn't you take my picture, he accosts the poor tourist. Who are you, she snaps. He mumbles his name. A combination of an unfamiliar face with an unfamiliar name is apparently too much for the woman, who, glaring at this quintessential nobody, stalks off. You're sweet, the actor says, addressing her jet stream as though it were an adoring fan. Turning his attention back to the champagne, he sticks his foot out to stop the waiter. Waiter, he commands in a theatrical whisper as he motions toward me, please bring this charming young woman a drink with my compliments. The drink never arrives. The morning of the awards brings a certain festivity to the day. On the way over to pick up the tickets, the taxi driver asks who my prediction is for best actor. I tell him my prediction is that someone will win. Dressed in evening clothes, the ticket says formal, which in Hollywood means no jeans, and a little late, I am becoming concerned as the doorman continues to wheeze into his whistle, and still no taxi appears. This is as I'm trying to get over to the Academy Award ceremony themselves. No taxis to be had. Suddenly, a man in a black suit and cap materializes. The doorman has steered him over to inquire if I would like a lift in his limousine. How much, I ask, narrowing my eyes. He gives me a price. We are on our way. In the insulated womb of that sedate car, the driver is playing salsa at a level that can only be described as 7 on the Richter scale. At the top of his lungs, he regales me with stories of how an Arab hired his car for 3 weeks, ran up a tab of $8,000, and tipped him $2,000. I don't tip him quite as much, and am guided out by a human conveyor belt of disembodied hands, cameras, and palpable excitement. As far as the eye can see, limousines are piled 5 deep like so much cheap lingerie. There is a certain art to making an entrance, but tonight, at the Academy Awards, nothing is left to chance. As each celebrity is disgorged, his or her name is called. He or she mounts a platform, waves at the crowd, says how nice it is to be here, stops for pictures, and walks into the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion. As befits a state which values its freeways, there is a kind of easy access to the proceedings. Legends are an arm length away, parading their crow's feet with abandon. For such heavy-duty glamour, the evening is affable and remarkably unpretentious. It is also fun. Watching unedited close-ups of celebrities without Vaseline on the lens, artful lighting, or scripted dialogue results in some not completely explainable combination of glee and relief at finally being freed from the constricting assumption that they are perfect and you aren't. You also get to see that almost extinct species, the living stereotype, those bald and paunchy producers with a proprietary arm around the fanny of half-nude showgirls twice their height. You can hear an actual crowd go crazy instead of a laugh track. And you can ogle a superstar followed by her date, a sleazy kind of looking guy who swaggers behind dark glasses even though it's night and wears what looks suspiciously like a white polyester dinner jacket accompanied by matching dandruff on the shoulders. But the most fun is seeing all the people upon whom your illusions and fantasies were based and finding them smaller than you expected, compact versions of themselves with the pockmarks and twisted seams that reduce them to 5'6", just like the rest of us. This is not to say, however, that all is acne vulgaris. No, indeed. The Academy Awards are still glamorous, still by the consent of all involved, an event. The celebrities mostly make their entrances accompanied by an entourage. But the real surprise is that although the majority of male stars have dates, many of the female stars arrive with sons or handlers or men who look like they were rented for the occasion. With perfect timing and a crescendo of flashbulbs and screams, the last stars to arrive are Warren Beatty and Diane Keaton, America's sweethearts. I follow them inside. Slipping into my seat, I notice that the knee next to mine is attached to Kris Kristofferson. I do a double take, but he is kind enough not to notice. At first, I don't quite know how to acknowledge him, but this is silly. So I lean over and say, "You know, you look suspiciously like Kris Kristofferson." "I am," he assures me sincerely. I don't for a moment doubt it. He is with his daughter, and although, like everyone else, he looks smaller in person, he is warm, chatty, and exuberant. As John Voight's name is called, Kristofferson jumps to his feet and applauds loudly. He confides that Voight has not had an easy time of it, and I know, he says, because we share the same agent. Later, he points to Bill Graham, who is sitting with Francis Coppola behind us, and that would be the rock and roll promoter Bill Graham from San Francisco, now the late Bill Graham, who's sitting behind us with Francis Coppola, and says that Graham provided invaluable help on A Star Is Born, which was not widely known and for which he received virtually no credit. Sitting on the other side of us is Danny Thomas, a man whose teeth look least. He spends the bulk of the evening mumbling amiably to his wife, exactly the way my Uncle Sal does. "Huh? What? Who's up next?" One paradox of the Academy Awards is that while they are supposed to be about film, the show is actually designed for television, even to its host. What this means is that if it doesn't happen on camera, it doesn't really happen. In one instance, as Danny Thomas, and that's Marlo's dad, is on stage making a presentation, out of camera range, squadrons of tuxedoed stagehands sweep the floor, knock down the sets. The audience, used to illusion, barely notices. For an almost four-hour show, the room is remarkably attentive, perhaps because this is a family event where members share one of the few bonds in Hollywood that doesn't require a contract. Getting screwed, even to be a victim in films, is to have reached a comparatively high station in life. The awards drone on. The first ones are presented in those categories where recipients come up in threes and fours, phalanxes of bearded tuxedos, as anonymous in front of the cameras as they are behind them, thanking all things big and small. Finally, all the awards have been presented, and everyone stands to give each other ovations. The Academy Awards swells to a close. Upstairs in the press rooms, which for some reason are more guarded and difficult to get into than the auditorium, the publicity apparatus continues to lurch forward. In the TV radio room, Jane Fonda and John Voight are subjected to a level of questioning that makes moronic seem like a high compliment. "Will you ever make another film about Vietnam, Miss Fonda?" And on it goes. So this is just a little flavor of the piece I wrote about the Academy Awards. And there's a pull quote that they use. "By 2 a.m., all those cheekbones begin to look like so much extruded styrofoam." So these are, it goes on, but anyway, I think they're fun to watch. I love to watch them. As bad as they can sometimes be, are as juicy as they are to watch. And I sort of liked them. What I saw of the Academy Awards last night, I really liked. I loved that some of the gowns were absolutely gorgeous, the kind of thing that you might even wear to something. If you could get the designers to give it to you for nothing, like they do to these actors and these actresses. It moved quickly, and I'm a big fan of Billy Crystal's. He's hilarious. And when somebody said something about the Bush administration, I think it was the guy who made the documentary on Robert McNamara. He said, "We went down a rabbit hole in Vietnam, and it looks like we're going down a rabbit hole now." Billy Crystal made some sort of a comment about this guy's next to be audited. So, I'd love to hear your comments, too. 303-382-1150. If you saw the Academy Awards from stem to stern, what did you think this year? Judy Schwartz was disappointed because she thought she was waiting for those horrific moments. But something has happened in the culture. And the precipitant for it, the catalyst for it, was Janet Jackson and the nipple event on MTV now, or on the Super Bowl. Now, everybody says, if you watch MTV regularly, that is nothing compared to what you're seeing on MTV. I think it's just because it was in a different environment. It was in a place where you didn't expect to find it. You expect to find it in MTV. You may not have expected to find it at halftime at the Super Bowl. It wasn't even that big a deal. They flashed on it for a fraction of a second. But in doing that, it galvanized. It was like the culture finally said, we have had enough. And so as a result, the Grammys were on a delay. The Academy Awards were on a delay. So that if anybody said anything, they could cut it out immediately. And why they needed 5 minutes, whether TV requires a longer delay, we are on an 8-second delay here in radio. So why they would need 5 minutes, I'm not certain. Those of you who know more about the technological aspects of TV than I do could answer that question. But something happened in the culture to the extent that now, because there's scrutiny in Congress, Clear Channel pulled Howard Stern off of six of its stations and made a big deal about Howard Stern's indecency. At the same time that Howard Stern was a huge moneymaker for them, that they were pushing that indecency, that they couldn't get enough of it, he was encouraged to push the envelope, and now I guess everybody finds out where the envelope stops. So if you have comments that you want to make about Janet Jackson's moment in defining something in the culture and galvanizing it, I would like to hear from you, 303-382-1150, because clearly it had an effect on this year's Academy Awards. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Libs love her.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hate her.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Your home is your castle, right? So why not make it look like one with custom-designed leaded glass windows? Leaded glass isn't just beautiful. It's affordable and amazingly practical. It can enhance the natural drama of your decor. Create a luxurious sense of privacy in special areas like the foyer and the bathroom. It can even save you money on blinds and curtains. So why take an ordinary view of life? Call Scottish Stained Glass today and ask for a free in-home consultation. The experts at Scottish Stained Glass can show you how to make a one-of-a-kind statement that complements your home and turns its natural light into a natural light show.
At Scottish Stained Glass, every window we create is an original work of art. Hi, this is Martin Faith, owner of Scottish Stained Glass. To know more about our durable, energy-wise, and surprisingly affordable windows, call 303-766-3811. Prices begin as low as $150, including installation. Call today, 303-766-3811.
Yesterday, a woman asked me if Beaujolais goes with pork tenderloin.
Excuse me? Like I can stop and think about pairing wine with food while I've got a house to sell.
Coldwell Banker knows your buyer could be anywhere. That's why we're everywhere. So relax. Our global network will market your home worldwide. Coldwell Banker. Visit ColdwellBanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated, except offices owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Denver Lyric Opera Guild is celebrating its 20th year, and you're invited to attend the annual finals competition judged by prominent leaders in the opera world. The Denver Lyric Opera Guild has awarded over $500,000 in scholarships to aspiring young Colorado singers. The final competition is free and open to the public on March 20th, 7 p.m. at Hamilton Hall in the University of Denver Newman Center. Join the Denver Lyric Opera Guild and hear some of the finest young singers in Colorado.
Savor the tasty Club Chalupa for a limited time at participating Taco Bell locations. It's packed with crisp bacon and marinated all-white meat chicken. When you want quality, think outside the bun.
When I grow up, I want to talk all day.
I want to work for 4 hours a day.
And earn a six-figure salary.
With stock options.
With weekends and holidays off.
I want to be syndicated.
I'll have a limo.
With a TV.
And video games.
I'm going to own my own radio station.
And have salespeople to yell at.
I need more money.
The best talk hosts weren't made in a day, yet you'll find them right here.
With Payday.
I'm going to be big time, baby.
On AM 1150 KNRC. Recently, Jimmy Lakey was spotted in the People's Republic of Boulder. Where will he be next? Where will we send Enid? How about Doug? The one Denver radio station that doesn't stay in the studio for the newsmakers to come to them. We go where the newsmakers are. AM 1150, KNRC.
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
12:59 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours for two more hours, so keep it right here on AM 1150 KNRC. We have a lot to talk about, a lot that's gone on. I went to the Spy Museum in Washington, D.C., and that was intriguing. I want to talk about that as we continue, because what it makes you think of is that everybody could possibly be a spy. And I really only got to see a little bit of it because they were closing it. It was an event that we had there. But I'll share all of those juicy details. And I want to thank Tom Reed for filling in for me. Enid Live, right here on
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
U.S. troops are trying to keep the peace in Haiti, a country that hasn't seen much of it in recent days. NBC's Kerry Sanders says there's a power vacuum now that the country's president has gone into exile.
While former President Jean-Bertrand Aristide is in the Central African Republic this morning, a U.S. official says he may actually seek asylum in South Africa.
Rebel forces have entered the Haitian capital and are being met by cheering crowds, but there has been some looting. For their part, Aristide supporters are keeping a low profile. The Bush administration says this is not a combat mission for the American troops in Haiti. There's word from the Pentagon that four Army National Guard units are being alerted for possible duty in Iraq. Could mean several thousand guard men and women would be headed there soon. Closing arguments underway in Martha Stewart's trial in New York City. She's charged with conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and lying to investigators. All allegations she denies. The case could go to the jury on Wednesday. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Are you ready for a shopping spree? Then shop the days away during the final days of the new JCPenney shopping spree. It's our best shopping spree ever. Save 30, 40, even 50% off regular prices throughout the store. So don't miss 30, 40, even 50% off the best spring looks for men, women, kids, and your home. Hurry in now for the final days of the new JCPenney shopping spree.
It's all inside.
JCPenney.
Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Feelings March 2nd.
Natalie Wood became a star by age 12, a teen idol in Rebel Without a Cause, and a legend in West Side Story. She was nominated for 3 Oscars and David Hollywood's Leading Man.
I'm Robert Wagner.
The only thing more famous than her life is the mystery of her death.
Actress Natalie Wood was found dead today in the Pacific.
ABC presents a world premiere movie event, The Mystery of Natalie Wood, tonight at 8, 7 Central on ABC.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 47 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Alaska Airlines. Kobe Bryant's defense team has scored a victory of sorts in the pretrial hearings going on in Eagle. KNRC's Bruce Morton has more.
The defense wants its team of experts to examine 2 pair of panties worn by the accuser. This morning, Judge Terry Ruckriegel granted Bryant's lawyers their wish to have the entire crotch area of those panties turned over for testing. The prosecution had allowed the defense to test split samples of the underwear at a Colorado Bureau of Investigation lab. Under the judge's ruling, the defense analysts will be able to examine the panties' entire crotch area at their lab in California. Bruce Morton, Eagle, Colorado.
Traffic is flowing along Interstate 70 once again. The highway had been closed from E-470 to the Kansas border since last night because of an extreme blizzard. Hundreds of cars and trucks had been stranded. Researchers want to know how or even if West Nile virus affects babies. Scientists are studying more than 70 women in Colorado and surrounding areas to learn what effect the virus has on pregnant women. The Centers for Disease Control say it's looking at antibodies in the blood of pregnant women to find out how the virus is transmitted to their babies. Last year, the CDC studied a woman who passed the virus on to her baby. That woman gave birth 3 months prematurely. 26-year-old Fort Collins cosmetologist Don Coleman says that she contracted West Nile right before she discovered she was pregnant. Coleman blames West Nile for the small size and premature birth of her baby as well. Doctors say it could take years before any solid connection can be made between West Nile and affected births. Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper wants to encourage Denver residents to read to meet that goal. He's starting what he calls One Giant Book Club. He's asking everyone in Denver to read the book Peace Like a River by Lee Fanger. Hickenlooper hopes the entire city reads the book, sparking conversation and encouraging more people to read. Hickenlooper says he'll announce another book next month as part of his One Denver, One Book program. Peace Like a River is set in 1962 and tells the story of a young boy who starts believing in miracles after bullies attack his home. Now, if anyone asks, you've read it. In sports, the Tampa Bay Lightning come to town tonight to play the Colorado Avalanche in January when they last played. Avs beat the Lightning in overtime. Avs are coming off their Saturday loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Denver Nuggets have tonight off as they get ready to welcome the New Jersey Nets to the Pepsi Center tomorrow night. Nuggets broke their five-game losing streak last night, beating the New York Knicks 107-96. Ever get the feeling that airlines pick their fares with a dartboard? Alaska Airlines is proud to announce Common Sense Fares, cheaper, simpler, and with fewer restrictions across the board. Visit AlaskaAir.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Irvin.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by James Hardy Building. Everything out east is reopened on I-70, so good news for people traveling that way towards Kansas. We do have some accidents to clean up stages. Eastbound I-70 at 270, as well as southbound I-25 right under I-70. Accidents that should be just about out of the way. Visit McKay Landing in Broomfield for homes carefully crafted with durable, low-maintenance James Hardy siding products by James Company. For more information, call 303-466-6560. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Michael Reagan starting at 6 after Doug on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The winds will be a bit uncomfortable, but will slowly taper as we head through the afternoon and into the evening, and it will not be as windy tonight. Sunshine in and out of the clouds with highs in the low 40s, lows tonight in the upper teens. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, a breezy day with a high around 44, and we have another chance for some spotty snow showers on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's partly cloudy, 44 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3. And I think I caught a little bit of a cold because I was having too much fun in Washington, D.C. I was there for the talk radio seminar that I do every year, and it alternates between Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles. And I want to share some of the information with you because a lot of things emerge from it that I think you might be interested to hear. But if you're just tuning in, one of the things we start out by talking about the Academy Awards and Judy Schwartz and Evelinda Irman, who co-writes Style Matters in the Rocky Mountain News and who co-hosts the show here on Saturday mornings, 10 to noon on AM 1150 KNRC. We were dishing about the Academy Awards. I only saw part of them because my plane didn't get in and, was late getting in and actually was on time, but the Academy Awards were already underway. And then I ran off to the Denver Film Society party, which was kind of fun, and then came on back. And so I missed things in between. But one of the things that seems to be evident, and it certainly was something that was covered in the talk radio seminar that I attended in Washington, we had Peter Jennings interviewing Senator John McCain, and a lot of questions about indecency came up. A lot of that, the catalyst for a lot of that was Janet Jackson and her flashing on the halftime show for the Super Bowls. Suddenly, that moment, it wasn't even a moment, it was a fraction of a second, galvanized America. I'm not sure why that is. It's just sort of like everybody said, we've had enough. Even though worse things, you see worse things on MTV. Why do you think that was? Have we just all gotten sick of it? Is this a moment where we've crossed the Rubicon and we're just, we're so old. That has gotten so old, or we've gotten so over it. We don't care about that stuff anymore. It's just so attention grabbing. It's so not anything much to do with creativity. It's just about flashing yourself because you haven't got any great ideas. What was it about? Why was there that moment? To the extent that both the Grammys, the Academy Awards are now on a tape delay system, and they weren't before. They were live. They were spontaneous. If somebody messed up, if there was a mistake, there was no way to correct it. We just sailed right on. It's the beauty of live broadcast. That's what you have here. Now, we have a tape delay of 8 seconds, but that's if somebody says a bad word, we can censor that. And that's why we do it. But the rest of it, we rarely have to use that button. 303-382-1150. I would love to have your thoughts about it. And here's the Borowitz report. The first Janet Jackson jokes are arriving in Iraq just now. The first shipment of Janet Jackson jokes arrived in Iraq today, a full month after wisecracks about the singer's right breast dominated the American media. Remember, it was exposed right boob, which is what they were calling George Bush on Tim Russert's show, an exposed right boob. Anyway, L. Paul Bremer III, the top U.S. administrator in Iraq, apologized to the Iraqi people for the delay, citing difficulties in translation. The sarcastic remarks were airlifted into Iraq over the weekend and delivered to the coalition provisional authorities' three primary joke distribution centers in Baghdad, the southern city of Basra and oil-rich Kirkuk. But in the so-called Sunni Triangle, where angry demonstrators protested the lack of Janet Jackson jokes earlier this week, the shipment of weeks-old boob gags culled from late-night comedy monologues could be a case of too little, too late. Hisham Dalal, 39, an office worker whose family has been without Janet Jackson jokes since early February, denounced the quality of breast-related witticisms the U.S. was offering Iraqi citizens. "I guess you had to be there," bitter Mr. Dalal said. The coalition provisional authority suffered another setback later in the day when Iraq's most prominent Shiite cleric, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Husseini al-Sistani, demanded that all Janet Jackson jokes be gone from the country by June 30th. On that date, according to aides to Mr. al-Sistani, the Grand Ayatollah himself would be responsible for the creation and delivery of all topical wisecracks about celebrities. The Janet Jackson jokes were distributed throughout Iraq by the Halliburton Company at a cost of $1.4 billion, Mr. Bremer said. While Halliburton had been contracted to distribute over 50,000 jokes, the company later acknowledged that the number of jokes actually distributed was closer to 7. For more, go to the Borowitz Report. This is the Borowitz Report, 303-382-1150. You can join the conversation, 303-382-1150. Kevin, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. You know, I think there's a bigger story here with this Janet Jackson thing. I personally don't know a single person who was offended by that. Of course, everyone thinks it was sort of ridiculous and tasteless, but I don't know a single person who expressed a concern about what was becoming of our airwaves.
Well, you know what? I'm with you on that. I don't really think I know anybody who was that bent out of shape over it. We all thought it was dumb, but nobody was offended. I mean, it's more offensive to send people into Iraq to lose their lives over
weapons of mass destruction.
But nobody wants to investigate that. They rather investigate Janet Jackson.
Yes, but I want to finish my point. I also do not know a single person who felt threatened by Saddam Hussein. And I'm concerned because I see this as yet another opportunity for our faith-based administration to pursue their agenda. And I think part of their agenda is, of course, the repression of free speech. They got John Ashcroft throwing sheets over nude statues. What better opportunity to rid the airwaves of things that the Christian right finds offensive? And I think that, too many people are playing into it.
Well, what are exposed in the Justice Department apparently are boobs and not brains. And so there he is, you're right, throwing sheets over statues. But you're exactly right, too. The discussion ought to be on larger issues where people lose their lives, not about Janet Jackson. But why is there that moment where it galvanizes, apparently?
Well, I don't believe it galvanized anybody. I think that it's just being perceived by
You know what, Kevin, you're going to have to call us back. You're broken up.
Okay.
Breaking up is hard to do. 303-382-1150, but I take his point. Scott, on the cell, how you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Scott.
Listen, haven't had a chance to call any radio station about this thing, but since it happened. But my thought on it is that the reason that the majority of the people are upset about this is because Janet Jackson had no respect for the people in her audience that might be offended by it. And you would think, as politically correct as the entertainment industry is, that she might have considered that. And
my guess is that this was not her call. My guess is that there were a lot of, I don't think she would have done this if she didn't have the support of a lot of people who suddenly cut and ran and left it up to her. There must have been an environment there where she knew that it was okay to do it, and it was all scripted in advance. I don't think people are walking around wearing nipple shields unless they're going to expose their boobs. So she was all ready to rock and roll here, and just in the same way that the whole culture has pushed Howard Stern, because he's a huge moneymaker for radio, for Infinity, which is Mel Karmazan and CBS. Infinity is CBS, and that's Howard Stern. He's an enormous moneymaker, and the more reckless he gets or the more raunchy he gets, the more money he brings in. So okay. Now suddenly everybody's bent out of shape, and then they're shocked that he does a raunchy show.
Well, but the difference, I think, between Janet Jackson and Howard Stern is that I think you're probably right. Janet Jackson probably had a whole corral of yes people, and she probably thought, well, maybe this would be a great way to, you know, uplift my sagging career. And they all said, sure, that sounds fantastic. And then when, you know, the F hit the fan, they all cut and ran, like you said. But Howard Stern, he knows his stuff's offensive, and that's part of his shtick.
That is his shtick, and if he did a show that was tasteful, nobody would listen. They're waiting for those offensive moments.
Right. Exactly. But and here's my other analogy, though, is I swear like a sailor when I'm with my friends. I go to strip clubs at every opportunity. But I'm not going to drag my grandma to the strip club, and I'm not going to use the F word in front of her because I know she's going to be offended by that. So you have to respect the time and a place for everything. And I think Janet Jackson, and I think she's an example. People are using her as an example for the entire industry. You know what I mean?
All right, but why at this moment have people thrown up their hands and said, we've had enough?
Because
what was it about? She was the straw. In some ways, she was the nipple that broke the camel's back.
There you go. I think that's just the way it is. I mean, it just happened, and this happened to be the time.
And it wasn't even that big a deal. You see worse on MTV, but it was like everybody said, we've had enough. Why did that happen? What was that all about?
Because it was Family Hour, it was a Super Bowl, and
it was the wrong time.
I remember watching a show called Bizarre with John Viner. I'm from St. Louis. And that was on at 1:30 in the morning when I was 14, and that was on a local TV show. Nobody complained. That was not cable, not anything like that. So if it happened at after 10, I don't think it would have been that big of a deal.
Scott, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Well, here we are. We're having a discussion. I just want to add to this. I'm listening to the news. You heard it at the top of the hour. And we're listening to the Kobe Bryant case. And we're listening to how the crotches of the panties that the accuser was wearing are being turned over and inspected minutely for every kind of cootie that exists. The judge in Kobe Bryant's rape trial ordered prosecutors to turn over two pairs of his accuser's underwear. And a key two-day hearing, I mean, this is what we're talking about. A key two-day hearing opened with the defense reportedly saying that the underwear is exculpatory evidence that will prove their claim that the woman had sex with other men before or perhaps after her encounter with Bryant. The defense says injuries discovered on the woman could have been caused by someone other than Bryant. You know, he's got these high-powered lawyers. They will create enough doubt about the accuser so that most likely, if I were guessing, if I were looking into the tea leaves, Kobe Bryant will walk. And I couldn't believe in preliminary hearings, we were hearing reports that when she went to be tested, she was wearing panties that had somebody else's DNA on them, somebody else's semen on the panties. And I thought, why would anybody do that? Was she simply careless? Or is that the kind of evidence that no matter how many times you wash it away, it still remains. And I think the answer we got that it still remains. Now, I'm not entirely certain about that, but it's the kind of thing where if you've washed your underwear a lot of times, that evidence continues to remain. Those of you who are forensic specialists and can address this very weighty issue, we want to hear from you, 303-382-1150. But here we are talking about the crotches and these panties and all the DNA evidence or all the forensic evidence that we're looking at. And then, speaking of Janet Jackson, does she ever come from a weird family? Here I am in Washington, D.C., and I'm looking at CNN. And here's Michael Jackson wearing a ski mask getting stopped after he's been in a Walmart near Aspen. I think, was he around Glenwood Springs? And he's wearing, he apparently wants to just blend into the wallpaper there at Walmart and doesn't want to stick out in any way and wants to shop anonymously. So what does he do? He puts a ski mask on in a Walmart where they have had a murder there a couple of years previously, and it may have been that somebody in a ski mask came in and did the robbery and the murder. I don't know, but here he is wearing a ski mask shopping. And, of course, after he leaves the store, that's when the authorities nab him, and they find out, oh, it's just Michael Jackson. 303-382-1150, make of that what you will. Under those circumstances, Janet appears to be the saner of the two, which may not be saying a lot. Eleanor, calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Ian. How are you?
Good, thank you.
That's great. Listen, you were talking about Janet, and I'm not very good with names, but this gentleman that wrote and produced Lord of the Rings showed up at the Emmys last night, or the awards last night, and he came in there, with his... He was exposed in front of... He's a big, heavy set guy, you know? Well, tell me what the difference is between... him coming in there looking that way with his shirt open and with the Janet thing.
Because we have sexualized women's breasts but not men's breasts, even though some men have bigger breasts than some women.
Oh, he looked terrible.
Well, I didn't see that part of it.
Oh, my God.
But we have, so if a woman nurses in public, everybody gets, they had to pass laws to make that okay in a lot of states.
Yeah, most of the ones that pass those laws are the ones that were nursing when they were little in public with the mother.
So I don't know. We've sexualized certain things, and if a man is naked from the waist down, then they'd haul him off.
I know.
Then they'd drape him like they do that Justice Department statue.
Of course. You know, a bunch of schnooks. What can I tell you?
Thank you, Eleanor.
Bye.
303-382-1150. That's right. 303-382-1150. That's why there have to be a tax on men. A tax. T-A-X. Not an attack, but a tax. We have to tax men because they're the ones that are... They're the ones, most of the population prisons are men. Most of the, whoever does the worst things usually are men. And so they take up most of the resources. And so therefore we should have to man tax because they take most of the resources of the society. What do you think about that? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. WB2. Tonight on WB2 News at 9. Save time while you diet? No points to add up, no writing in journals, no counting carbs, and it's all natural. The Diet Patch, and it's the latest dieting trend. But does it really work? And is it safe?
I'm Casey Curry. We talked to experts about these new diet patches. Find out what they have to say.
WB2 News at 9 weighs in to find answers.
Trying to tape something onto our skin to make us look different.
The Diet Patch, tonight on WB2 News at 9.
This is
WB2 Morning News.
When weather happens in Colorado, turn to WB2 Morning News.
The station with the most local news in the morning.
And weather and traffic on the twos.
Every 10 minutes, get updated weather and road conditions.
Plus, check on your morning commute drive time.
We'll save you time when you need it most.
WB2 Morning News, the place to turn when weather happens.
We'll help you plan your day.
No matter what it's like outside.
WB2 Morning News, weekday mornings from 5:30 to 9, because your time counts. Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Tyler Matheson, CNBC Business Radio. The market's moving higher today. The Dow Industrial's up now by about 94 points, and NASDAQ hanging on beautifully here, higher by almost 23. Former New York Stock Exchange boss Dick Grasso could face a lawsuit now over his hefty retirement benefits. The New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer may sue Grasso over the $140 million that he received in benefits. The government says that in January, personal incomes rose at the slowest rate in 5 months, and personal consumption increased by 0.4%. The focus shifts to the prescription drug sector in a new national anti-drug strategy being released today. The use of pain relievers, sedatives, and stimulants for non-medical purposes have exploded over the past decade. Chip sales up from last year. The Semiconductor Industry Association says global chip sales for January rose 27.4% to $15.6 billion. But J.P. Morgan has cut its rating on Intel because of a potential slowdown in the sales of laptop computers, and the rating on advanced micro devices cut too. Tyler Matheson, CNBC Business Radio.
NBC Tonight. Meet the fearless women of an all-new, all-female Fear Factor. Then, a hot all-new Las Vegas with the Lord of the Rings, Sean Astin, as the luckiest guy in Vegas.
I just won $1 million! Woo!
Then, it's here. The finale of Average Joe 2 Hawaii. Who will she choose? There's one hunk, one Joe, and one final twist.
Can I have a kiss?
Fear Factor, Las Vegas, and the finale of Average Joe, NBC Tonight.
For 3 years running, Medicine Shaw Pharmacies have been rated number one by the Wilson RX Pharmacy Satisfaction Report. We're first in friendliness of pharmacists, first in on-time filling of prescriptions, and first in overall pharmacy satisfaction. Hey, when you take an active role in the health of your customers, people tend to notice. Bring in your prescription and see why we're the leader in customer service. Caring about our customers earns more than awards. It earns us their trust. There's a Medicine Shaw Pharmacy near you.
Join our Voice at Work fraternity. It's growing every day.
I listen in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, in the office, the car on the ride home.
If you support live and local radio for the Denver metro market, go to our website at knrcradio.com and click on the Voice at Work logo.
This is going to be the most astounding thing you've ever heard of.
If you listen to KNRC at your place of business, you'll get up to 10 free T-shirts for your employees.
Well, that stuff sounds pretty good.
When you sign up as a member of KNRC's Voice at Work program, our host will mention your business on the air as a local supporter of the station. Your place of business will be added to the Voice at Work portion of the KNRC website. We want all of our listeners to know the local places that support local radio. We'll also send you KNRC t-shirts, bumper static stickers, and commuter coffee mugs.
I mean, that's a great deal.
Go to knrcradio.com and join the Voice at Work fraternity. Another way to say thank you for listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
You guys are great. I love listening.
I have it on all the time.
KNRC. We're in touch, so you be in touch. Call us with your news tips, traffic info, and when the weather's bad. 303-382-1150. Help out your neighbors by letting us know the situation in your area. We're the only locally owned Denver radio station, and we are concerned about Denver, the mountains, and the Front Range. AM 1150, KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
127 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We've been talking about a lot of things. We're talking about the cultural moment. You know, as evidenced with the tossing off of Howard Stern from a number of Clear Channel stations for issues of indecency and then the Janet Jackson moment that galvanized the nation, what that cultural moment seems to have occurred. There's so much I want to share with you also. While I was in Washington, D.C., one of the events we went to was the Spy Museum. And going to the Spy Museum, you start, they have all these, all kinds of stuff here on things that you would never have thought about. In other words, you're not walking around thinking about people who are spying on you. It's not really something that you are, at least I'm not, maybe people who are conspiracy theorists are, but once you go to the Spy Museum, and I wasn't able to tour the whole thing because they were closing it and I only had about 20 or 30 minutes to do it very quickly. suddenly you're left with the idea that anybody could be a spy. And they talked about some famous actors and actresses. Josephine Baker, the famous singer in Paris of the 20s, the American, was a spy. She was. They were concerned about some kind of war stuff, and she was providing information because she'd go to these parties and with certain elite people, and so she could spy. Julia Child started out as a spy. Interestingly enough, she was a lowly file clerk, but she was worked for the OSS, which was the precursor of the CIA. And she was they have her picture up as a spy. Her husband, I believe, was more of a spy. She was pretty low level, but still in all, that's what she did. And they talked about a number of other people. They talked about dead drops. This is where you leave things to be picked up. And if you read spy books, you probably know about all this stuff already. And one way to let somebody know that they've been there is to make a mark on a public, leave a piece of tape on a lamp pole, leave a mark on a post office, mailbox, leave a pack of cigarettes that looks like litter or a Coke can or, you know, a soda can, at the side of a road or something. It just looks like litter. Nobody would think to pick it up, but it might have a roll of film in it, something like that. So those were the more low tech but creative ways. And then they had all these disguises. Tremendous number of disguises, so that they took a picture of a young woman who looked a little bit like Liv Tyler, and then they put different teeth in her mouth, and they put different wigs, and they made her into a man. They made her into somebody wearing a turban, like an Islamic student. They made her into somebody that didn't look anything like her. I mean, it was just amazing, the range of disguises that the CIA has used. So after I walked out, and I only saw a fraction of the museum, it was really worth going back for, but I didn't have the time to do it. Once seeing just a fraction of the museum made me think, gee, everybody could be a spy. And that's kind of the message that they put out there, that everybody can be a spy. And the reason I was thinking about this, other than, you know, there are stories of sabotage, is that there was a story in the Washington Post. And again, I want to thank Tom Reed for filling in for me for 2 days. It was really gracious of him to do it. He is the Rocky Mountain Bureau Chief for the Washington Post, and he has been the Bureau Chief in London and Tokyo. So he has really had a distinguished career. But here was the story that broke in the Washington Post over the weekend. And this has to do with some very interesting spying. In January of 1982, President Ronald Reagan approved a CIA plan to sabotage the economy of the Soviet Union, and this is how he was going to do it, through covert transfers of technology. This is amazing. He was going to sabotage what remained of the Soviet Union through covert transfers of technology that contained hidden malfunctions, including software, that later triggered a huge explosion in the Siberia natural gas pipeline. This is according to a new memoir by a Reagan White House official. So what they did is they allowed the transfer of this, what they knew to be flawed software, that would deliberately trigger one of the biggest explosions that has ever occurred. And in order to disrupt the Soviet gas supply, its hard currency earnings from the West, and the internal Russian economy, the pipeline software that was to run the pumps, turbines, and valves was programmed to go haywire after a decent interval. Not right away, but after a certain amount of time, it was programmed to go haywire to reset pump speeds and valve settings to produce pressures far beyond those acceptable to pipeline joints and welds, and it caused this massive explosion. The result was the most monumental non-nuclear explosion and fire ever seen from space, adding that the U.S. satellites picked up the explosion. The blast occurred in the summer of 1982. Apparently and miraculously, according to this account, nobody was killed in this blast, but it screwed up. It had a huge effect on the Soviet economy. It helped to bring the Cold War to an end. I just thought it was an amazing story. And you might want to comment on it. 303-382-1150. Spying. Spies among us. I never think about the fact that there can be spies among us. That they're just looking for all kinds of things. That even somebody, that an actor, an actress can be a spy, that they go around to these big parties and bring back information where it's relevant. Never occurred to me. One of the other things I did in Washington was to go to the Corcoran Museum almost across from the White House. And I did call the show on Friday afternoon because I took a walk to the White House, not very far from my hotel, and was astonished because I hadn't been to Washington, D.C. for a few years, I don't know, three or four, I think. And the last time I was there, you could walk right to the, you could see reporters doing their stand-ups on the lawn of the White House. You could walk right to it. There was just a fence around, a lovely wrought iron fence. No more. It's like an armed camp. It's like a moat around it. You can't get anywhere near it. You can barely see it. You can't get to it directly. They've got construction around it. And Tom Reed said, and he was filling in for me, he said that George H.W. Poppy, the father of the current President George W. Dickey Bush, had barriers installed around the White House, and when Clinton took over, he removed those barriers. And I tell you something, I think it sends so much the wrong message to have these practically barricades around the White House. It just says we've succumbed to terrorism. And I was looking on the White House lawn, and I see these squirrels around, jumping, hopping around, and I thought, aha, here's what's going to happen, having been to the spy museum, you know, and thinking along these lines. The terrorists are going to organize a squad of suicide squirrels. They're going to pump them up full of explosive and throw them over the fence. They're going to hop around blowing themselves up. And you know who's going to get involved? PETA. PETA is going to be so angry about this because remember they were using donkeys as suicide animals in the Middle East. I went over to the Corcoran. This is a long way to get over the Corcoran because I've been reading in the New York Times about these quilters. They're black women. They are descendants of slaves and they live in this really remote place called G's Bend, Alabama. You have to take a ferry to get over there and there's no real ferry service there. It's kind of an ad hoc deal that they've got going. So they've been isolated for all these decades, and they have been making the most astonishing quilts. And to call them impoverished doesn't even do them justice. I mean, impoverished would be rich compared to what their situation is. They have nothing. And to make these astonishing, bold, even modernistic-looking quilts, and they've been doing it since, I don't know, the 20s or so, was astonishing to me, doing it out of nothing, just imagination, really. That I made a special trip over yesterday to see these quilts at G's Bend, and there was a gospel singer, and they had brought in some of these older ladies who were still quilting there, and they were sitting in the front row of the gospel center. But just to let you know, G's Bend, G-E-E, there's a licensing deal now with various manufacturers who are going to be manufacturing these G's Bend designs. Now, I do hope that the ladies of G's Bend, the old quilters, African-American, descendants of slaves, living in this isolated, completely impoverished place, get to share in the proceeds of their incredible labor. But just beautiful, beautiful stuff. And I think Jane Fonda has contributed to a documentary that was made about it and to the publishing of the books about the quilts in G's Bend. 303-382-1150. There is a controversy, and that controversy is about whether Aristide is been kidnapped in Haiti, or whether he really decided to resign. He says he's been kidnapped. Eddie, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I heard your conversation with the gentleman that filled in for you last time, and I heard him say that the barriers were put up by George Herbert Bush, and then they were removed by Clinton.
Right.
That's factually incorrect. It was Bill Clinton that put the barriers up in the first place shortly after entering the White House, and I just think you know, have your producer, somebody, do a little research on it, and I think you'll find out that's the correct thing that happened on it. Because I remember being pretty upset about it, that they put the barriers in front of the White House like that. I thought that was a bad idea.
I don't know. I'm putting my money on Tom Reed because he is a Washington Post bureau chief, and he spent a lot of time there, and that's his neck of the woods. But we'll look into it, Eddie, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Key Bank. The judge in the Kobe Bryant rape case has ruled that Bryant's defense team can have experts in California examine two pair of underwear from his accuser. Prior to this, prosecutors had previously allowed the defense only to study the underwear at the Colorado Bureau of Investigation lab. The pre-trial hearing in Eagle continues through tomorrow. People in Eastern Colorado are still shoveling their driveways, but Interstate 70 has reopened after being closed from E-470 to the Kansas border. Hundreds of motorists had been stranded overnight and through the morning because of an extreme blizzard that bypassed the metro area. State Patrol says that a 17-year-old died after losing control of his vehicle on I-25 near 104th Avenue Friday night. They say Alejandro Melendez was racing his Mitsubishi Eclipse against a Chevy Corvette around 11:30 that night. Melendez was thrown from the car and run over by another vehicle. The Key Business Rebate Loan. Visit a Key Center or call 1-888-KEY-4BIZ today to learn more about the loan that pays you back. Only from Key Bank. Subject to credit approval, Key Bank, achieve anything. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecaster up next. KNRC News Time is 1:38.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
All right, then. The first thing we'll do is divide everyone into two groups. Those of you who travel less than once a month, please turn your volume dial counterclockwise. And might I advise you to get out more? You deserve it. The rest of you, esteemed airline pilots, flight attendants, millionaires, professional athletes, congrats, you've made the cut. And should concurrently visit locatingme.com, where you'll find a service designed to aid you and your family in an emergency. When you're away, you want your family to feel confident that they could contact you at any time. And further, that they have access to pertinent medical information from any computer in the world. LocatingMe.com does this and more. And because you're a special and unique individual, if you're not completely satisfied, return your ID cards within 30 days and your entire subscription price will be refunded. No obligation. This concludes our discussion. And homebodies, you may readjust the volume as you see fit.
Visit LocatingMe.com, where you'll never be out of touch.
KNRC News Time is 1:40. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Riceland Rice. That's my rice. And a couple problems in the Central Valley. It's kind of been a tough drive all day today. Northbound I-25 at I-70 now an accident. Colfax over I-25 on the overpass. You're going to see an accident there as well. And downtown just off Colfax at Spear and Stout. An accident being reported there as well. Watch for delays. Meals at home can be fast and easy when Riceland Rice is the main ingredient. Start with the great taste of Riceland Rice, available at Albertsons. Albertsons, helping make your life easier. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear the Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly starting at 10 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. The winds will be a bit uncomfortable, but will slowly taper as we head through the afternoon and into the evening, and it will not be as windy tonight. Sunshine in and out of the clouds with highs in the low 40s, lows tonight in the upper teens. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, a breezy day with a high around 44, and we have another chance for some spotty snow showers on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy, 44 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm tired. I'm stressed. I want to be pampered, and I don't want to have to go to some expensive spa to do it.
That whining woman you just heard is Evelinda Ehrman, and I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live. In order to shut Evelinda up, I bought her a gift certificate to Salon Mercedes, a full-service salon near the Denver Tech Center, I-25 and Orchard. The staff is so well-trained, experienced, and friendly, they'll even put up with her whining.
Thank you. Oh, goody, goody, goody. Look what I can choose from. A new haircut and color, waxes, microdermabrasion. I like this Take Yourself Away package that gives me a manicure, pedicure, massage, and facial.
You need it, honey. Your roots are showing and your nails are chipped.
Nice of you to notice.
Salon Mercedes, located at I-25 and Orchard. Open Mondays through Fridays, 8 to 7. Saturdays, 8 to 5:30. 303-741-0606. Treat yourself and everyone on your list to a Salon Mercedes gift certificate. 303-741-0606.
Salon Mercedes, so close to you.
Darren Copeland is live Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:42 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We've been talking about a lot of different things. It's been a potpourri conversation. Joe, give me a digest of that. We're talking about the barricades and what that Because the question arose as to whether or not the barricades were put up. Tom Reed says that they were put up by Bush's father, Poppy, and a listener called in to say that they were put up by Bill Clinton. Tom Reed said that that they were put up by Poppy Bush and removed by Bill Clinton. So I hope that whoever comes into the White House the next go-around sends out the message loud and clear that we're not afraid of terrorism and that we're not turning this country into an armed camp. It's bad enough when you get into an airplane now. What terrorism has done to air travel is really awful. It's really turned the country into kind of a barbed wire country. And I don't think that that's a right message to send. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. So here we have, also we have an administration denying that it kidnapped Aristide, and he's been calling friends all over the place, and he doesn't quite know even where he is, or he didn't for a while, and a bunch of American service people bundled him up on a plane, if you can believe one person's account of it. So 303-382-1150, we're involved again, although I don't know what you do about Haiti exactly. But we have two versions of the story. Americans say that he signed off on his own resignation. He says he was kidnapped by the Americans and bundled off Colin Powell, apparently saying to Aristide, we can't guarantee your safety. The issue that is getting a lot of attention and continuing to get a lot of attention, and I want to talk about this, is gay marriage. And I want to start with the Borowitz report. 70% of existing marriages may already be gay, he said. New study jolts the White House. The Bush White House's plan to push for a constitutional amendment banning gay marriages suffered a surprising setback today as a new study revealed that well over 70% of existing marriages may already be gay. The study, conducted by Dr. Charles Cranborn of the University of Minnesota, confirmed what many social scientists have long suspected, that within the first 5 years of marriages, most men become, for all intents and purposes, gay. Soon after marrying, most men stop hitting on women and start shopping for furniture, Dr. Cranborn said. Scientifically speaking, how gay is that? Within 10 years of marriage, Dr. Cranborn added, a significant number of married men stop having sex with women altogether. There's only one way to describe someone who does not have sex with women, does not hit on women, and spends his free time shopping for furniture, Dr. Cranborn added. That word, to be scientific about it, is gay. When news of the University of Minnesota study hit Washington, the White House immediately abandoned its plans for a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage for fear of alienating the 70% of married voters who are already in a gay marriage, whether they know it or not, to quote Dr. Cranborn. Instead, the administration will ask Congress for over $1.2 billion in funds to promote gay divorces. According to those familiar with the Bush proposal, gay couples who come forward and ask for a divorce will be granted total amnesty, a dividend tax cut, and a major reconstruction project in Iraq, the Borowitz report. What do you think? 70% of existing marriages may already be gay. I wanted to say something. We were talking earlier about Janet Jackson and the defining moment when she flashes her nipple and suddenly the culture goes crazy, even though you see worse on MTV. Maybe it was because of the context. It was more a family-friendly environment. Nobody really even saw her nipple. It was so quick. It was just the shock of it later and everybody talking about it later and then slow-motion photography and so on. But here you have that moment in the culture, and that's what everybody's focusing on. But if you look at the commercials that were run, it was all about Viagra. It was all about erection potions. And my contention continues to be, because we use sex to sell you everything, I think people are so inured by it that they can't even perform for some reason or another. And so nobody was making fun of the crotch-grabbing commercials. Nobody got bent out of shape over the, ads for Viagra and all the other potions that if you have an erection for more than 4 hours, you should go to the doctor. As Lionel said at one of our panels in Washington, D.C., if he had one for more than 4 hours, he'd call all his friends. 303-382-1150. But nobody ragged on that. Everybody got bent out of shape on something that happened for a millisecond. And I still don't understand it. And somehow that leads into our topic of gay marriage, because the cover story of this week's Economist is the case for gay marriage. They're making the case for gay marriage. And here's what they go on to say. They say, you know, at last it's official. George Bush is in favor of unequal rights, big government intrusiveness, and federal power rather than devolution to the states, rather than states' rights, essentially. That is the implication of his announcement this week that he will support efforts to pass a constitutional amendment in America banning gay marriage. Some have sought to explain this action away simply as cynical politics, an effort to motivate his core conservative supporters to turn out the vote for him in November, or to put his likely Massachusetts liberal opponent, John Kerry, in an awkward spot. Yet a call for a constitutional amendment is such a difficult, drastic, and draconian move that cynicism is too weak an explanation. No, it must be worse. Bush must actually believe in what he's doing. And yet he was on Larry King Live one night. One of you sent me a piece of information about that, where when Larry King asked him about it, he didn't seem to be all that upset about, people who are gay. It wasn't an issue. I think he's trying to consolidate his base. I think that's the only thing you can that emerges from this the ban on gay marriage. 303-382-1150. And here you have the Baylor newspaper. And they are very conservative. And their editorial board vote, shouldn't gay couples be allowed to enjoy the benefits and happiness of marriage too? Their editorial board is voting 5-2 in favor. That's at Baylor University. That's a fairly conservative place, isn't it? 303-382-1150. So not everybody who you might think to be George Bush's base is supporting a constitutional ban on gay marriage. I think that people are bent out of shape about it because the word marriage is used. And what has emerged from the phone calls here to the show is that if you say to people, giving people the same rights as marriage, only not calling it marriage, would that be okay with you? They say yes. But they don't like it called marriage. I think that's the secret here. I think that's the key to the opposition. It is the word marriage. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Alternative. Ina Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ina Goldstein.
KNRC.
We have to talk.
Billy the Kid was the West's most famous outlaw, and his death is one of the most disputed events in history. For the first time ever, using forensic science, ballistic experts, and homicide investigators, be there at the moment of his death to solve the mystery and launch a legend. What really happened to Billy the Kid? Tomorrow at 9, only on the Discovery Channel.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Arvada Center for the Arts and Humanities announces its 2004 summer camp programs. Session lengths will vary from 1 to 5 weeks during the months of June, July, and August. These inspiring and creative camps offer experiences for kids age 6 through 18 in studio photography, hands-on clay, drama, orchestra, dance, and more. To register or request a complete catalog, call the Arvada Center box office at 720-898-7200 or visit the website at arvadacenter.org.
For a limited time at participating Taco Bell locations, go clubbing with crisp bacon and marinated all-white meat chicken in the savory Club Chalupa. When you want quality, think outside the bun.
Stay with KNRC right after Style Matters from noon to 2 this Saturday for a brand new show called Food Talk with Jim Conder. Jim will host a two-hour romp in the field of great food and drink, interesting guests, delectables, food news, specialty foods, interesting food, food history, recipes, cuisines, cooking tips, and of course, restaurants. Food Talk with Jim Conder, KNRC's new food and restaurant forum, Saturdays noon to 2 on AM 1150 KNRC.
We call it Drive Talking. Go to our website at knrcradio.com and look for details on how you can get a free KNRC travel coffee mug. That'll help on those morning commutes, and it may stop those stupid hot coffee spill lawsuits. There are few things that are free these days, but you'll find them at knrcradio.com. Go there, sign up, and the Drive Talking coffee mug will be yours. You can even get unlimited coffee refills in your fabulous new KNRC coffee mug at Sugar Beet Cafe. It's just another way for us to say thank you for making AM 1150 KNRC your number one choice for news and talk in Denver. AM 1150 KNRC. The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local all day Saturday and Sunday. Listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Desi Cortez, and Darren Copeland beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk. Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:53 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. We're talking about a lot of things. We're having a potpourri kind of a conversation about cultural matters, starting with the Academy Awards. That one moment that Janet Jackson exposed herself that no one could even see. It wasn't even a moment. It was a millisecond. And it caused the Academy Awards to be on a tape delay. It caused a moment in time where everybody says, we've had enough. Nobody I know says we've had enough, but somehow the culture as a whole feels like it's had enough. So now the Academy Awards are on tape delay, and now you have a whole discussion about gay marriage. And you're having this discussion at a time when a lot of cultural issues that define the reds and the blues are coming forward. In addition, you've got the Catholic Church scandals all around sexuality. I mean, I think there's such a confusion about sexuality in this country. Suddenly we're hearing more. We're seeing Bob Bennett all over television because of these reports now about sexual abuse of power the trust issues around priests. So many of them, so many sexual allegations around priests that they practically had to be recruiting pedophiles into the priesthood. I'm so sorry to have to come to that conclusion. Whatever having to do with sex in this country, we are really confused. And then here we are talking about gay marriage. I mean, you're using sex to sell everything. There are all these commercials during the Super Bowl for Viagra and similar drugs. There's a lot of crotch grabbing and flatulence. And you can't buy sex except for a few counties in Nevada legally. You can't legally buy sex except for a few counties in Nevada. So then you have these priests who are not allowed to have sex. And look at some of those folks got into terrible jams. And then we have the case for gay marriage. Now, suddenly, all these cultural issues coming to the fore, and usually around sexual identity or sexual matters. I don't know what to make of it, but suddenly it's what we're talking about. 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. And then we have a kind of drama playing itself out in Haiti, where you have Aristide, who has a cell phone and he's able to call out intermittently, and he's calling out to say that he's essentially been kidnapped by the Americans and airlifted out of Haiti. And the Americans are saying he actually signed a letter of resignation. Actually, I think I believe Aristide. If without knowing much more about it, then it's he say, she say. 303-382-1150. What do you think? Ed in Denver, how you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. Love your shows.
Thank you.
So glad you're out there. What's really disturbing to me about all this, distraction is exactly this case in Haiti. That if that's what Aristide is saying, Colin Powell's already gone on the air and said that he signed willingly and left willingly. And if that's a lie, we need to know that. That's where our focus needs to be, not on,
Well, suppose
Janet
it is.
Jackson and,
I know, but it should be on what we're doing in Iraq or what we're not doing in Iraq. Or it should be on Halliburton, or it should be on some really serious issues.
And that's why I think Karl Rove is so happy to stir up this stuff and toss it out there and keep that on the front burner and keep CNN and MSNBC and Fox News.
All right, what happened when gay marriage was the front page story last week? What happened?
Everything dropped off.
Everything dropped off. That's exactly right.
Pastor tried to delay the, tried to,
He wouldn't allow the 9/11 commission to get the 2 months extension that they wanted, and he's been forced into it. So now they're going to do that.
And I think he was running that up the flag to see if they could get by with it because everybody was distracted with everything else. They were so happy when Michael Jackson got in trouble. It's this, you know, they want to keep all this stuff on the front burner.
Well, and now you got Kobe.
American people from thinking.
Now you got all the crotch shots of Kobe Bryant's. You know, you got all that stuff going on.
Well, as long as you keep it out there, and it, you know, keep them refocusing. You know, it's fine to talk about Academy Awards, but people need to keep refocusing on what this administration is doing and what they're doing under the table while everybody's talking about gay marriage. So.
Ed, I think you're right. I thank you for the call. I think Ed is right in this way, too. It's good to have fun, and girls just do like to have fun. But it really is also good to keep our eye on the ball, and the ball is what's going on in a larger... In this country, there's a huge disconnect between what's going on politically and our interest in what's going on politically. I think for some reason we don't necessarily always realize, or that a lot of us don't, because we're busy being couch potatoes, or we're overwhelmed by life, or who knows what, or overwhelmed by work if we're lucky enough to have jobs. We don't see that there's a connection between what goes on politically and what our lives are like. Like everybody says, oh yeah, let's go in, let's have those tax cuts, let's go into Iraq, yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially the Chicken Hawks were the biggest cheerleaders. And then, you know, fast forward a few months down the line, and then you got Alan Greenspan talking about how, guess what, there's going to be a cut in Social Security benefits, and you're not going to have the money for this, and we're not going to have the money for that as a country, and, oh, really? Oh, is there a correlation between these tax cuts and maybe Medicare benefits or Social Security benefits? Or how about the using the vast purchasing power of the United States government to get the price of prescription meds down? Let's do that so that seniors don't have to make a choice between buying food and buying meds, or between paying the rent and buying meds. Oh, no, that's been specifically precluded in this brand new Medicare reform legislation that's going to break all of us, break the system, break our health, break our hearts. There is a big correlation, and I think we have to start to pay attention. One more hour of Enid where we are paying attention right here on AM 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. Haitians have been rampaging through the home of their former president, stealing things and trashing the place. NBC's Carrie Sanders says Jean-Bertrand Aristide has fled the country and may seek asylum in South Africa.
Within hours of Aristide's departure, the small Haitian police force that had been standing idly by for days began enforcing laws. Rebel leader Guy Philippe and his followers, who never attacked the capital, now claim the militia will help restore order.
Well, that's also what American troops are trying to do, but U.S. officials say this is not a combat mission. John Edwards says he needs to make a respectable showing in tomorrow's Super Tuesday primaries, but he won't say what he'll do if he doesn't. Polls suggest John Kerry will do well in all 10 contests. Spring may be just around the corner, but it's not here yet. A storm has dumped more than a foot of snow on the upper Midwest. Hundreds of miles of highway are closed. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
NBC Tonight. Meet the fearless women of an all-new, all-female Fear Factor. Then, a hot all-new Las Vegas with the Lord of the Rings, Sean Astin, as the luckiest guy in Vegas.
I just won $1 million! Woo!
Then, it's here.
I need love.
The finale of Average Joe 2 Hawaii. Who will she choose? There's one hunk, one Joe, and one final twist.
And a kiss?
Fear Factor, Las Vegas, and the finale of Average Joe, NBC Tonight.
Hi there.
It's the Lincoln Mercury Think Big National Sales Event, with just announced savings on every Lincoln and Mercury in stock. From the brand new limited edition Lincoln Town Car to the award-winning Mercury Grand Marquis. And there's no better time to save big on all our luxury SUVs, including the powerful Navigator, midsize Aviator, and the award-winning Mountaineer. The Think Big sales event. It ends soon, so think big and fast. See your Lincoln Mercury dealer today.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Vista Ridge. Two rulings in the morning session of Kobe Bryant's pretrial hearing went in favor of the defense. Judge Terry Ruckriegel denied a prosecution motion regarding questioning of the alleged victim. Prosecutor Dana Easter vigorously opposed the alleged victim having to testify about her sexual history and use of prescription drugs. She is scheduled to testify behind closed doors tomorrow. Ruckriegel also upheld the defense's wish to have its team of experts examined two pairs of the victim's underwear at an expert's lab in California. The prosecution had provided limited samples of the underwear and wanted Bryant's analyst to examine the samples at a Colorado Bureau of Investigation lab. The hearing will continue this afternoon behind closed doors. Good news for teens looking for work this summer. The annual Youth Job Fair opens tomorrow. Sponsored by the Tri-County Workforce Center and the Trico Youth Works Program, the fair is part of Governor Owen's Summer Youth Job Hunt Program. Most of the employers at the fair are metro area businesses hiring for the summer, part-time and full-time jobs. Most of the jobs are for teens 16 and over, but some have intern and volunteer positions available for younger teens. The job fair opens tomorrow at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds from 3 to 7 p.m. For more information about the fair, you can log on to www.tricoyouthworks.com. Getting from Cortez to Mesa Verde could get a lot easier if county commissioners get their way. Government and business leaders in Montezuma County have revived an idea to build an aerial tramway linking the two western slope towns. The nine-member commission says it's raised two-thirds of the $45,000 needed for a study to determine if the tramway is economically feasible. The one holdout in the tramway is the town of Mancos, which calls itself the gateway to Mesa Verde. Town officials say a tramway would kill that town's economy, but supporters say a tramway would boost the economy of the entire region, including Durango and the Ute Indian Reservation. The commission, which includes a representative from the Ute Indian Nation, should know by March 15th if it qualifies for a $15,000 federal grant to help pay for that economic study. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche are at home at the Pepsi Center tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Avs beat the Lightning in overtime when they last met in January. On Saturday, the Avs lost for the first time ever to the Columbus Blue Jackets. No game for the Denver Nuggets tonight, but they'll be back on the court at the Pepsi Center tomorrow night against the New Jersey Nets. Last night, the Nuggets broke their five-game losing streak with a 107-96 win over the New York Knicks. Vista Ridge, a great new family community, now offers everything from condominiums to single-family to custom homes, just 20 minutes north of downtown, on the web at vistaridge.net. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
More Enid Live.
And it's not the same for men.
Talking just gets you into trouble.
Next on AM 1150 KNRC.
Does your accounting firm really know you, your business, and your goals? At Earhart Keefe, Steiner & Huttman, we spend time with you to learn about your business and your goals. As Denver's largest locally owned accounting firm, EKS&H has been serving companies for over 25 years. The roots of the success of EKS&H are built on a corporate culture where service is our priority. If you're looking for an accounting firm that is progressive and will really spend time with you, there's only one name that should come to mind, EKS&H. At Earhart, Keefe, Steiner, and Hotman, we'll support you with integrity to help your business flourish. Call us at 303-740-9400. That's 303-740-9400. Or visit us on the web at EKSH.com. EKSH, Certified Public Accountants and Advisors. Trust that is earned.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Liberty Bell Telecom. Cleaning up accidents at Spear and Stout as well as Colfax over I-25. Had a bit of a problem northbound I-25 at I-70 and also Peoria at I-70. Break free from Quest with your new choice in local phone service. Liberty Bell Telecom. Better service, cheaper rates. Keep your current numbers. LibertyBellTelecom.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear Jimmy Lakey in the morning starting at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. In like a lion, out like a lamb. As we get started into March, the winds have had a bit of a bite to them, but they will slowly taper off. We're going to see that sunshine duck in and out of the clouds today with highs in the low 40s. It will not be as windy tonight. Lows will be dropping into the upper teens. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow, breezy with a high around 44. And we have another chance for some spotty snow showers on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
44 degrees under partly cloudy skies. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, we think Denver's choice for talk. Now one of the Mile High City's most entertaining talk personalities, the Enid Goldstein Show. Here's Enid.
T.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, just back from Washington, D.C. And I just heard the weather person say, you know, remember the old remark, in like a lamb, out like a lion for March? Well, she said, in like a lion, out like a lamb. Where is she? In Denver, it's lammy outside, isn't it? It's kind of sunny and nice. And does that mean we're going to have a big blizzard like we had last year in March? Well, I don't know. Washington, D.C., when I left yesterday, was balmy. It was unusually warm. It was probably around 60 degrees. At least that's what it felt like. I didn't even need a coat. And then I arrive in Denver, and I see that there's some snow on the ground, and it's kind of nippy in the air, and it's a whole different thing. We're talking about the disconnect between what happens politically, people not believing that it affects them, and when it does. And I guess the question is, why should we care about Aristide? Why should we? Ben, on a cell, why should we care about Aristide?
I don't think we should care about him. As far as I'm concerned, the best thing to happen was for him to be removed, because otherwise more troops would have had to go in there right away.
But he's an elected guy. Should we be going in there kidnapping everybody we don't like when there's an uprising? And what if we had done nothing? What would happen? It would be in terrible disarray. There'd be terrible human tragedy. I mean, what do you do in a case like that?
Well, since I'm now against our involvement in Iraq, and that's something that I actually think is strategic, I'm really against Haiti.
Well, I think I'm going to murder you, Ben.
No,
I tried to talk you out of it so hard when we were in the run-up to the war. I couldn't believe you were going to be in favor of that war, and then we go in, you know, and the troops and all that star-spangled glory, and you're still in favor of it. And I really wanted to jump out of the telephone and grab you by the lapels and say, wake up.
Well, except we didn't find any WMDs, which is why I was in support of it. But you're talking about something totally different in Haiti. It's a country that has been corrupt for so long. I don't think there's really any fixing it. So then it's just a question of keeping as few people murdered and tortured as possible. And I think Aristide probably had to go, just like Baby Doc had to go years ago.
Well, Baby Doc was really a dictator. Is Aristide a dictator in the same way? I don't think so.
I don't think it was a dictator, but I think it had been proven by all kinds of different news organizations, including NPR, that he was incredibly corrupt.
But are you saying this because it's black? Haiti is black. Would you say it if it were a white country?
Well, sure, but
I don't know.
Which country in the Caribbean is a white country? I mean, in other words, the effect of Haiti economically was almost zero, but a lot of people were about to start getting into boats and coming over to Florida, and I don't.
Well, they're turning them back, which strikes me as so horrible. I mean, they were trying to escape what was going on there, and then our Coast Guard turning them right back.
Well,
what do you do in a human rights sense? What do you do?
I don't think that we can solve every single problem. I really don't. And I think it's...
So then is the answer to try to solve none?
In this situation, I think the answer is to do as little as possible.
You thought we should go into Iraq.
Yep.
You wanted to solve that problem.
Different situation.
No, I don't know about that.
I think it is. And the guy who just called, well, of course everyone's going to listen to gay marriage stories. And of course everyone's not going to pay any attention to 9/11 because... It is like you're saying, people think, well, this is something I can have an opinion about, and it has to do with sex and sexuality, so I'm going to pay attention to that.
Well, also, it's a welcome distraction. Nobody wants to hear about the body count in Iraq, about the latest explosion or suicide
right.
bombing.
But I think it's really
about the fact that there might not be any Social Security in 5 or 10 minutes, and that, you know, we're all getting screwed, so let's concentrate on gay marriage.
It's absolutely right. It was something that everyone knew he was going to respond to sooner or later. And basically, I think it was an easy distraction, and I think it's going to be up to the Democratic candidate for president to say, what did you ever do about 9/11? Because otherwise, it's just going to be swept under the rug.
Well, I think you had a situation where George W. Dickey Bush was on the ropes more a couple of weeks ago than he is right now. He's gaining some momentum, and he's gaining it because everybody's at rest. Everybody's wrestling around, rolling around on the floor with gay marriage. And so he's trying to, I don't know what you want to say, recoup his losses here.
Right.
And he may be doing it.
But
although I think the poll numbers suggest that if the election were held today, that Carrie Edwards would still win over George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, the two Dicks, George
right.
W. Dickie Bush.
There's still a lot of time before November, and unless the economy really turns around, Bush is going to have a hard time getting reelected. And I didn't think that 3 months ago, but I do now.
Yeah, but if you didn't think that 3 months ago, that means it could change in another 3 months in the other direction, too, Ben.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks.
I thank you for the call, 303-382-1150. Arnie emails me this: Ina, the stupidity virus is spreading like wildfire. It may have hit first in Washington, this dumb bug. Somehow it seeped into the Oval Office, where the president stares into the headlights and goes, while he struggles to complete an intelligent sentence. The bug certainly arrived in California this past year, as evidenced by the election of a third-rate actor from Austria as governor. David Horwich, and that's spelled with a W-H-O-R-E, became a carrier, dropping into Colorado, where Governor Owens threw open his arms to the witch hunters who want to purge state universities of thinking people and replace them with the likes of Coach Barnett, who himself is definitely in advanced stages of this brain-numbing disease. Is there hope? A vaccine? Anything? Or will this debilitating virus destroy all intelligence, leaving this country with 4 more years of a shrub who thinks he's a bush? We can only hope. And this is from Arnie. What do you think about that? I have often said, puckishly, but maybe not so puckishly, that I think conservatives aren't as bright as progressives. But there is certainly a dumb virus going around. And we can see that when we're focusing on Janet Jackson's nipple, and it becomes a kind of defining cultural watershed moment where the culture has said, enough, enough. And yet at the same time, we're selling all these ads for keeping it up, getting it up, and keeping it up. And the reason you need those ads, I think, is everybody, sex is used to sell so much, people are inured, and so everybody's got to pop a Viagra, apparently, or too many people have to pop a Viagra. And then we're off on to gay marriage. Meanwhile, everything is crumbling around us. Our economy is a mess. We've gone into Iraq when we never should have gone in. And I begged you, those of you who were so gung-ho, let's go to war, let's compensate for 9/11, let's call in the cavalry. Well, look what we've got now, a mess on our hands. And you've got the warlords running Afghanistan who are getting rich on opium profits, which the Taliban would never allow. They are so rich now, it's been a bumper crop of opium this past year, which contributes to the drug problem. So if you think we are all not related to each other, think again. When I took the plane back from Washington, D.C., I have to tell you, there was a man, it was a two-seat, I had the aisle seat, and it was a two-seat row, just him and me. And he was already seated there. Now, normally, if you're already seated and somebody comes to sit next to you, you acknowledge him. You may not want to talk to him, but you might smile or you might move over your stuff and make room for them or help them get settled. Or, you acknowledge that someone is going to be sitting next to you for the next, I don't know how many thousand miles it is from here to Washington, D.C., and you have to think about something else when you get onto a plane. You think about if anything happens on this plane. Look around you. If anything happens on this plane, now that we're in a post-9/11 mentality, we're all going to have to pull together. So you look around you, who's on the plane with you? At least I've been thinking along those lines sometimes. You hope nothing happens, and usually nothing does. Everything usually turns out fine. So here's this guy sitting next to me. I get my stuff settled, and I had a bunch of junk with me, and he never smiled. He never acknowledged that I was sitting next to him. He decided to pull down the shade, which was, I hated that because it makes it dark, and it was nice, some nice scenery out the window, and it was sunny. Not that sunny, though, and decides to take a nap. And in no way, the only time I heard from him is when he had to go to the bathroom. So now he's got to get past me. I'm the gatekeeper for him to get out to the aisle. And, of course, he picks the moment when I have 50 things on my lap that I'm going through to say, excuse me. So I looked up at him and I said, oh, you can speak. And might not have been my finest moment, but I said, oh, you can speak. And he goes, and then he comes back, and he says, I don't think he says thank you. You know, I have to now get up, put everything, ditch everything that's in my lap, which is a lot of stuff, because I'm reading stuff that I don't have time to read when I'm home, and it's a good place to read on a plane. And I get up, and he says, and I didn't hear him say thank you. I said, I don't think I heard a thank you there. Now, I'm sure Miss Manners would throw me out. She would have thrown me out of that plane for being so rude. But I thought he was horrible, and I thought there's this whole idea that has been completely lost. We really are all connected to each other. It's not a matter of, is it independence or dependence? Those are not the two alternatives. The truth is in the middle, and the truth is called interdependence. I cannot drive anywhere unless somebody had built a road. I wouldn't be able to drive on from here to Park Meadows if someone hadn't built I-25. Okay? I wouldn't get great medical care if I were suffering and didn't have an emergency room to go to. Or, you know, we all are helping each other. We are maybe all doing specialized things. But I was reading a wonderful story about customer service reps. People get so mad at the miserable phone mail system, at lousy customer service, that they take it out on customer service reps. They really let them have it. Big time. And then these people who are sort of a nerd to it and they know it comes with the territory come home and take it out on their families. So if you beat up on one person, then that person beats up on somebody else and you have a whole chain of people beating up on everybody else. Not that I'm immune from this myself, but somehow this idea that we are part of a larger community has been lost. And what happens in Haiti does directly affect what happens in Afghanistan affects us. It affects us if there's a bumper crop of opium. It stimulates the drug trade. It gives the warlords more money. More things happen in Afghanistan, and it affects us here in Denver. I mean, there's a whole chain of events wherein you are affected here in Denver. And then I thought after I got off the plane, you know, I'd given this guy, I'd really let him have it. So I had some cigars in my purse. Why did I? Because we had a cigar smoker night. They always have that at the talk radio seminars. And they imported somebody from Santo Domingo who was sitting there making these cigars. And so people were smoking them. So I thought, well, I'll take some too for gifts. And so I said to him, would you like a peace stogie? And he looked at me and said, I don't smoke. And I thought, oh, and I said to him, I saw what he was reading and it had legal words on it. I said, are you by any chance an attorney? And he said, I am. Giving lawyers a bad name, huh? And I said, yes, yes, you are. I couldn't think of anything witty to say. So I just sounded like a harridan myself, so I'm sure I didn't help the cause of this interdependent, you know, a chain reaction of I jumped on him and he's going to jump on somebody else. 303-382-1150. You may want to comment on all of this. But there's kind of a dumb virus that's spreading, and there is a disconnect virus that is spread, and there's a, you know what, I made mine, and to hell with everybody else virus. And that you see a lot with people who have just come along and didn't realize that there was a lot of hard work to bring them to a situation where they could succeed, and they think they've done it all on their own. And wiser people know that you never succeed without the help of others. It might be inadvertent, without other people's input, without good luck. Luck really plays a huge role. But a lot of, you know, yuppies who have succeeded think they've done it all on their own. And that's what I had in my seatmate on the plane. You may want to comment, 303-382-1150. And I thought, God, I hope this plane makes it to Denver, because we're not going to be able to count on this joker for anything. Brian, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey there, Enid. Your comments are pretty bright on. I travel about 250,000 miles a year in a plane, and I meet all types. And which your disconnect, it really goes back to, I believe it's Carl Jung is the pronunciation of his last name, his theory of synchronicity, where the flapping of a butterfly's wings in South America can eventually have an effect on, you know, the wind channels out here. But the reason I was calling was because of some of the comments.
I think that's a different theory than, I think synchronicity is chance and running into things. I think the flapping of butterfly is a different theory.
I
was thinking later, you know, he could have been part of a legal firm that negotiated a contract or something, you know, or had something to do with some, you know what I mean? I thought
right.
There could be one degree of separation here. I better not say who I am, and he better not say who he is either, because I have a feeling we're going to run into each other.
He was probably an attorney for Clear Channel. Who knows? Anyway, what I was going to comment on earlier was, like, what I can't get over, first of all, I think it's a peripheral issue. I think it's a big distraction, this whole gay marriage thing. But what I don't understand about the right-wingers is, why aren't they in favor of it? They always claim that they hate the sin, but not the sinner. Well, it's been scientifically proven that the biggest suppressor of sexual appetite is the wedding cake. So they can stop the sin right then and there.
That's right. The longer you're married, the gayer you become.
Exactly. And having been married once, and believe me, that was enough, it's like they can have it. The other thing about Haiti, well, come on. You're talking about a Bush in the White House. This man has had no regard for any democratically elected president. If you don't believe that, ask Al Gore. And the last comment I want to make is your study that, you know, again, going back to the 70% of married people turn out to be gay. All this time, here I was a lesbian trapped in a man's body and just didn't know it.
That's right, Brian.
You have a great one. Keep
Thank
up
you.
The good work.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate the call. Actually, I met a man in San Francisco who was undergoing, I've told you this story before, but he was undergoing therapy to become a woman so that he could be a lesbian. I'm not making this up. It took me a while because before my brain stopped long enough to figure out exactly what he was talking about, because I only know about boys and girls, but now there are a lot of gears between park and neutral in life. Rosie in Aurora, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, I was just calling to make two comments. One on your about how we're all connected to each other. I do agree that, and I think one of the things is that you would think that September 11th would make a lot of people draw closer to each other, but unfortunately it doesn't. And I think sometimes people have to learn how to create relationships. So that's just one of the things I want to say about that in general, that we all are connected to each other. Everybody, you can't assume that everybody knows about how to make a relationship. And then about the travel etiquette, about be down next to you.
Yeah.
The thing I think about that, I look at that, what you did was kind of encroaching, because the same way you wanted to sit down and read and you said, this is my time to read, I look at that as maybe that was his time to have peace and quiet. So for him to have to expect.
Oh, no, I didn't want to have any conversation with him. I just thought that when someone sits down next to you and is going to be your seatmate for the next couple of thousand miles, just smile and acknowledge them. That's it. You don't have to talk to them. I don't want to have any protracted conversation. It's just a civility. What I was struck by was a lack of an ordinary civility. If you grew up in a small town, you run into people or you're sitting next to somebody, hello, how are you? That's it. Or just hello, or, you know, just a smile. He wouldn't even make eye contact. And then I thought later, well, maybe some horrible thing happened to him, but I just think he was, a jerk.
I know that's not my typical way of handling travel etiquette. When I sit down to three people and that person next to me, I say hi and all of that. But I just, you know, when I think about it, I think about boundaries too, that's the way that person has chosen to set a boundary.
Yeah, but is that something, not even acknowledging, all it took was a smile saying you're here. A smile, a civility smile, that's all. And are you saying that that's okay to pretend that nobody's sitting next to you? Is that a boundary that we think is a good boundary as a society?
I do believe that. I'm one of these people. I agree with you. I didn't grow up in a small town. I grew up in a relatively large-sized town. And, yes, people did speak to you on the streets. But I've moved to cities that where you can look people dead in the eye walking down the street, and you can say hi, and they still not return.
Well, that's walking down the street, though. But sitting next to somebody on a plane ride, I mean, touching this guy.
To me, it's the same difference. It's the same thing. You know, whether he wants to acknowledge you there, that's his choice. You know, I mean, if I want to.
Oh, yeah, he can do whatever he wants, but people can do whatever they want, but it's still rude.
I don't think it is rude. I mean, I don't take it personally. You know, because for one thing, I'm only traveling a couple of thousand miles with this person. Or even if I was going from.
Only a couple of thousand miles.
Well, even if I was going to Denver to London, I wouldn't take it personally. I don't know this person. I haven't done anything to this person. So if they choose to be quiet and
quiet is good. No, it's not about quiet. It's not about quiet, Rosie. I appreciate. I don't particularly want to talk to him.
If he chooses not to acknowledge me, that's his choice.
Yeah, it is his choice. Yeah, it's his choice, but I can have an opinion about the choice.
Right,
and I thought it was not.
I have my opinion right now. But what I'm saying, I don't think he's a rude person or a nasty person or an uncivil person, because he did not turn to you or anybody else sitting in that seat and say, hi, how are you?
No, I didn't know. I don't expect him to say, hi, how are you? It's just a human response. You and I are going to disagree on this one, but it's just a human response.
I think that's a matter of opinion. And I think, I mean, you would probably can find 50-50, 50% for you and 50% for me.
Well, let's see how people respond to it.
I don't think he's an uncivil person. I don't think he's an uncivil person because you said.
All right, now he waits until I've got 50 things on my lap to announce that he has to get up and go. All right, he didn't wait until my lap was completely. So now I'm not kidding. It's like an Abbott and Costello farce. I've got to figure out in this tight little space here where you have practically. I'm small. I'm tiny, and there's no leg room. And I don't have leg room, and so I'm, you know, trying to juggle everything and get up so he can get out. And he gets, and there's no thank you. Now, what about that part, Rosie?
Didn't you say he said excuse me when he was
I think he
police?
Said excuse me and indicating that he needed to get up and go. So now I juggle everything around, and okay. I stand up, and I don't hear a thank you. I don't hear a thank you going, and I don't hear a thank you coming back. Now, what about that part of it?
Okay, can I say something? I think you're making it all about you. I don't think he personally waited till you got everything out. I think he just said, I got to use the restroom. Let me go to the restroom. He said, excuse me. And then, you know, from as far as I'm concerned, when I came back, I would have said, excuse me again, and, you know, to let by. But that's just unreasonable.
Rosie, there should be, Rosie, darling, there should be common decency here, and we didn't see it with this guy. You and I are disagreeing on this one, and I do thank you for the call. See if other people agree with you or not. 303-382-1150. Has Rosie got it right? I don't think so. I mean, do you not, isn't there not a human, you can't force it, you can't legislate it. My rude comments I'm not particularly proud of, although hey. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Libs lover.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hater.
Ignoramus.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Annie Akio Myers joins the Colorado Symphony Orchestra for a performance of Barber's Violin Concerto, led by Peter Ungen on March 5th, 6th, and 7th. Tickets start at just $12. Tickets available at all King Super's Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life. Hey, Mary, what you doing?
I'm declaring my independence. I'm switching my internet access to ProLink.
I didn't know you played golf. Where do you play?
Golf? Are you kidding? I couldn't tell a golf ball from a disco ball.
Well, didn't you say ProLink?
Yeah, but ProLink isn't about golf. It's about DSL, dial-up, and all that, you know, internet access.
I've never heard of ProLink.
They're an ISP. They offer the same high-quality internet access as the big guys, but without the poor service and annoying advertisements.
Is their connection fast?
Sure. Their DSL taps directly into large networks, just like the big guys, and they're giving me 2 free months of internet access.
Well, that settles it. I'm switching to ProLink. How do I get connected?
Call them at 303-972-3218 and they'll get you squared away. That number again is 303-972-3218. Mention this ad and get your first 2 months of high-speed internet access for free. That number again is 303-972-3218. You'll be glad you did.
DSL cross-connector installation fees are not included. None available in all areas.
Every hour on the hour. If it's going on, it's going on KNRC. Awarded Colorado's best newscast and best general reporting by the Associated Press. In Denver, Colorado, the nation, the world, whatever it takes, whenever news breaks, you'll hear it on AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC and our television partner, News 4. Together, we've got Denver covered with reports on the hour, on the half, and when news breaks. It's award-winning coverage you can count on from AM 1150 KNRC. Management at AM 1150 KNRC have been listening to the Enid Goldstein Show played backwards, looking for hidden subliminal messages. Here's what they found.
George Bush is a great president.
Not what we expected. Find out Enid's view for yourself weekdays at 12 noon on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Steve North, CNBC Business Radio. Good economic news sparked a decent rally on Wall Street today. The Dow closed up 94 points at 10,678. The Nasdaq gained 28 to finish at 2,058. The nation's manufacturing sector grew in February for the ninth straight month. The Institute for Supply Management says its index came in well above the number that indicates expansion. And a spike in consumer spending last month also sent stocks higher. The Commerce Department reports a solid 0.4% increase. In closing arguments, a prosecutor today said Martha Stewart planned in advance to lie to federal authorities about her sale of ImClone stock. The U.S. attorney charged Stewart and her broker with hatching a cover story about the sale, but leaving behind a trail of evidence.
And in another high-profile case, a prosecutor opened the trial of John Regas and his sons by saying they siphoned money from Adelphia Communications like it was a private piggy bank. Steve North, CNBC Business Radio.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. You know, our talent search for the Fab Five was no simple task, but at least financing it was. We actually covered our travel expenses using the membership rewards points we had earned on our American Express business cards.
With Open the Small Business Network, you can make big things happen when you have an American Express business card. To apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN.
Enrollment in the membership rewards program required. Fees and terms may vary. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
NBC Tonight. Meet the fearless women of an all-new, all-female Fear Factor. Yeah! Then, a hot all-new Las Vegas with the Lord of the Rings, Sean Astin, as the luckiest guy in Vegas.
I just won $1 million! Woo!
Then, it's here.
I need love.
The finale of Average Joe 2 Hawaii. Who will she choose? There's one hunk, one Joe, and one final twist.
Can I have a kiss?
Fear Factor, Las Vegas, and the finale of Average Joe, NBC Tonight. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett.
Doug Kellett. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:33 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I just got this email from Steve. Steve said, just discovered your show. Nice to see some competition to Limbaugh and Rosen. Find it odd that people are in a tiff over Janet Jackson, but have no problem taking small children to Mel Gibson's Ultraviolet movie. To me, The Passion was appalling to watch as an adult, so I can only imagine what goes through a child's mind. I guess I don't see why one is more important over the other. Ooh, that's an interesting point. We're talking about travel etiquette. I was just on a plane coming back last night from Washington, D.C. I get on, it's a two-person row, and the guy is already seated, and he's seated at the window seat. I, you know, move in with all my junk, and there's no acknowledgement that even another person is sitting next to him. I mean, absolutely, he wants to have nothing to do with anybody, which, of course, is his right. But it strikes me as, you know, you're sitting, like, not even an inch apart, and you're riding for thousands of miles together. If anything happens to that plane, everybody's going to have to pitch in. I think the acknowledgement that we're all sort of interconnected to each other, even in the most... I mean, there is such a thing called manners and etiquette. What about that? 303-321-1150. And when he got up to go to the John, it was an excuse me, and I said, oh, you can talk, and no thank you, you know, no thank you, which you would say for somebody getting up, ditching all their stuff. I had to ditch everything so that I could stand up and he could get by me, and the same when he was coming back to a seat. What do you think about that? 303-321-1150. Of course, Ms. Manard would say I would be rude to say anything about it, but I thought that... a social lesson was in order, but maybe that was presumptuous of me. Byron, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Byron.
First of all, as someone who's traveled a lot on mass transit as well as in the skies, there's nothing worse than getting on a plane or a train or someplace where there's a lot of people, and someone who's sitting next to you starts talking nonstop, and you don't want to.
But we're not talking about talking
that
stuff.
No,
we're
agree
just
that
the
just...
an acknowledgement. And all it is just eye contact.
I
he
agree.
Wouldn't even make eye contact.
You know, I mean, having said that, you know, I think it's rude of him not to even look at you and smile and say hello, good afternoon, good evening, whatever.
Or just a smile. It's just like you don't have to say anything. Just
but maybe he could sense that you were a talker and he just didn't want
to. No, get... I don't talk to anybody.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't talk to anybody on planes. I got stuff to do on planes.
Now moving on. You were very close to being the B word on the plane today. That guy, you know, you could have been removed by one of the staff there, but you know, you've covered so
I offered
much.
Him a peace stogie. But you know what he said to me?
What was that?
He said, I don't smoke.
Hey, you leave me alone. I don't
yeah smoke. I said sorry for the rant, here's a peace stogie. So I mean, this guy also had no sense of humor.
You've been all over the road today. I don't know where to start. Janet Jackson, Howard Stern, you know, before this, the FCC didn't care about that. They wanted to, you know, they wanted to make one big radio network, one big TV network. All of a sudden, they care. It's an election thing. It's an election thing. Gay marriage.
Yeah, but it wasn't only that they cared and their hearings. There was something in the culture that said, you know, we've had enough. But they didn't have enough of the Viagra pills.
I'm not not so sure there is something in the culture that said we had enough. I mean, the fact of the matter is, I don't think very many people cared about Janet Jackson's exposure. I still think thousands and thousands of people listened to Howard Stern. In fact, it wasn't even him who said whatever it was that pulled him off the air. It was a caller. But the fact is that...
And I don't even think Howard Stern is, you know, you have to wait for those moments where he's genuinely funny, but you got to wait, sometimes you got to wait hours for that to happen. So I don't know, I don't necessarily get the appeal of Howard Stern.
Well, if you ask me, you got to wait years for it to happen, but you know, he's just not funny. But, you know, I think it's a political agenda. All of it's a political agenda. It's much easier, in my opinion, to start a conversation based off emotion than it is based off of intellect. And I think this is what the Bush administration is trying to do. They want to pull these red herrings out to take your mind and eyes away from the democratic process. They've been buried in the papers. They're being hammered. They want to start their own agenda, and that's what they're doing. It's clear. It's very clear.
Byron, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Bank One, home of maximum strength checking. Two of the rulings in this morning's session of the pretrial hearing for Kobe Bryant's rape case went in favor of the defense. The judge denied a prosecution motion opposing the alleged victim testifying about her sexual history and use of prescription drugs. The judge also said the defense can have an expert in California examine a key piece of evidence. 21-year-old Michael Wolf of Killeen, Texas, has apparently left Colorado without completing a halfway house treatment program. Wolf had been convicted and sentenced for snowboarding while drunk and hitting and injuring some small children in a beginner's class. NFL running back Clinton Portis is about to become the highest paid running back in NFL history. ESPN.com is reporting that the Washington Redskins and Portis have agreed to an 8-year, $50 million deal. The 22-year-old Portis ran for 1,591 yards and 14 touchdowns in 13 games last year for the Denver Broncos. Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking, the most powerful form of checking known to money, now with free customized email alerts that can save you money. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1239.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein. KNRC.
We have to talk.
Yesterday, a woman asked me if Beaujolais goes with pork tenderloin. Excuse me, what? Like I can stop and think about pairing wine with food while I've got a house to sell.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage knows your buyer could be anywhere. That's why we're everywhere. So relax. Our global network will market your home worldwide. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
With all of our busy lifestyles, eating a balanced, healthy diet can be difficult. Multivitamins and dietary supplements can help with essential vitamins and minerals that you may be missing. Walgreens has a large selection of vitamins, supplements, beverages, and energy bars, all from brands you trust, all priced right. So join Walgreens in celebrating National Nutrition Month during March by keeping yourself and your family healthy. Walgreens, the pharmacy America trusts.
KNRC News Time is 2:41. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Alaska Airlines. Seeing a little bit of slowing and the normal slowing of this time of day. Southbound 225 making your way to I-25. Had a problem at Peoria and I-70. Should be out of the way as well. And over in the area of 23rd and Steele, sounds like an accident involving a DUI. Watch for accident investigation there. Ever get the feeling that airlines pick their fares with a dartboard? Alaska Airlines is proud to announce Common Sense Fares. Cheaper, simpler, and with fewer restrictions across the board, visit AlaskaAir.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic. You can hear the Radio Factor with Bill O'Reilly starting at 10 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. In like a lion, out like a lamb. As we get started into March, the winds have had a bit of a bite to them, but they will slowly taper off. We're going to see that sunshine duck in and out of the clouds today with highs in the low 40s. It will not be as windy tonight. Lows will be dropping into the upper teens. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow, breezy with a high around 44. And we have another chance for some spotty snow showers on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under partly cloudy skies, it's 44 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
A refrigerator, a house, you're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. They have a full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508. Or online at ipfunding.com.
We know you're interested in the market.
I'm just kind of curious.
Who knows better than Ron Asana of CNBC, the name in business?
It's as simple as that.
Cue his new show this Sunday at noon, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. The Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:43 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about what happens when you have a seatmate that you're sitting not even like an inch away from, who you're going to ride with for a couple of thousand miles or however it is, whatever the distance is between here and Washington, D.C. I forgot to look on the sky map to see. And he doesn't even, there's not even the slightest bit of civility. There's no thank you when he have to edge out past you to get to the aisle, to get to the John. And there's no acknowledgement that, yeah, I mean, just eye contact, smile, eye contact. That's all you need. I'm not looking for a conversation here. So 303-382-1150, what are your views about that? The board is full, but it will open up. Kendall, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I think that you're guilty of the same thing that he is, because I never recalled you saying that you said hello to him. So I think that you're just as guilty.
No, he wouldn't make eye contact. There was no way to say hello to him.
But at the same time, do I have to make eye contact with you for you to say hello? How are you doing? Because you're just like he's sitting there, you sit right next to him and said nothing to him. So I don't think that you should judge him, and I don't think nobody should judge him, because he could be flying out to a funeral. He could be going through something in his life to a point where, at that time and moment, you know, he's not really feeling like being social. He wants to put on his shade, close his eyes, you know, grieve maybe. You know, who knows?
Well, I thought about that later, but I think, I don't know, I just think that there's a lot of incivility around, and it just seems like even you just acknowledge a person who's sitting, you know, practically in your lap, all you do is you make eye contact or you smile or that's it. And that's all you got to do for the rest of the flight. And I think we've lost that quality in life.
And I agree with you, and I definitely agree with you. But in this case, it's hard for me to take your side 100%, because you never said nothing to the gentleman. And when you did say something to him,
he made it clear that he didn't want anything said to him. So I respected that. There was no opening. You watch for those social cues. So if there had been any opening, I'm sure I would have smiled at him. But he refused to even make eye contact. He thought he was riding in that plane by himself, Kendall.
Well, I believe that you have a light. And I believe that just us as good human beings, if you have that light, let it shine regardless of what the situation may be. You know, maybe you can change the mood of that just by saying hello. And if after he says hello, then you can have those feelings. But I just believe that the move for a conversation or the mood wasn't set by you, and you necessarily should have done that, because you're a talker. Even though you want to recognize it or not, you're a very big talker, and I believe that you could have changed that situation.
All right, Kendall, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Louise in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Oh, hi, Enid. I just had to chime in on this. I think you handled it perfectly.
Actually, Miss Manners would ding me because I was rude.
No, I'll tell you what.
You're not supposed to tell anybody else that they're rude, because then you're rude if you do that.
Sometimes we can be too nice and too mannerly. No, because you handled it in a civilized kind of tongue-in-cheek. You weren't screaming, cursing. I tell you, this kind of man, this is not the first time he's behaved this way. He probably is used to acting like an ass. and hoping that people will grovel at his feet just for a smile from him or something.
What if he's to somebody who's completely socially inept?
I can tell the difference. You can tell a difference between somebody that's really shy and an introvert and somebody that just thinks, I'm not going to talk to you because I'm so much better than you are. And I do believe this. He's probably gotten away with it so much by you kind of heckling him a little bit. Next time, and I think they think maybe not everybody's going to put up with it, but I think you handled it perfectly.
Oh, Louise, well, thank you. Oh, I like that version of the story. Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 303-382-1150. I'm not so sure I did handle it perfectly. I was hoping, although somebody said you came very close to the B word here, I was hoping to, sometimes when somebody says something to you, you don't want to give them the satisfaction that they have struck a nerve or that they have actually said something you should pay attention to, so you just keep doing what you've been doing. But later you hear it and you think, you know, why not? Why can't we? Somebody, Lewis Thomas, I think, was headed up Sloan Kettering in New York, and he wrote a book that won a National Book Award a few years back called Lives of a Cell. And he said, I've come to the conclusion, he since has died, but he said, I've come to the conclusion that we are all part of one large and vast organism. That means the human race. That together we're part of one large and vast organism made up of a lot of specialized parts. So here's somebody who's a doctor. Here's somebody who's a nurse. Here's somebody who builds roads. Here's somebody who's a welder. Here's somebody who cooks. Here's somebody who teaches. Here's somebody, you know, and everybody does a specialized thing, but all together we're part of a large and vast organism. And I really think that we are losing that sense of community because people are too busy. A lot of people, and he struck me as 30-something. So a lot of people who are 20-something and 30-something think that they just invented everything and it's all, you know, and if they're successful, nobody ever had to fight for anything, especially women who don't realize that a lot of women had to fight for a kind of equality that they now enjoy without even thinking about it. But a lot of people had to really work hard for it. And here are these guys who, you know, come in, and they're coming in on the shoulders of other people who had gone before them, and they think they did it on their own, and they don't have to say hello to anybody. You know, you're not a client. Why should I bother with you? 303-382-1150. Richard, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, is this me?
Yeah. Hi, Richard.
Hi there. Enid, I enjoy listening to you, but I'm going to take you to task on this subject about your seatmate there, the surly seatmate, because for all you know, he could have just been given news that his wife was just rushed into brain surgery, and he's flying there to catch up with her, and his mind is totally engrossed on that.
Well, you're right. I thought about maybe he's. I don't think I had that impression, but that doesn't mean I'm right. I don't, you know, you could be right about this, Richard. He could have just gotten some very devastating news, but that wasn't the impression I had. I just...
You know, the only reason I bring that up is I've been told that I have never met a stranger. I'm a very outgoing type person, but that exact scenario happened to me, and no, I didn't want to talk to anyone. And so you do tend to recede into a shell. Now, whether or not, you know, we're making excuses for this gentleman, I don't know. But on the other hand...
All right, then let me give you part two. How come when he goes to the John and comes back and, you know, you got to stand up and put your things down and, you know, unbutton your coat and blah, 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 you know, there's no thank you. Now, that is just automatic. Nobody... It's just like when someone says, how are you? You say, I'm
okay,
well, or I'm fine. Nobody does an organ recital. So this he said... But then he maintains he said the thank you, but I didn't hear it. he said thank you.
From that standpoint, buy him a drink and sit back and relax.
I should have done that. Well, I offered him a stogie. Me didn't take it. And it was a handmade... That was a... It's a Macanudo. It's a good handmade stogie. Thanks very much. I'm sure he thought it was a suicide stogie. It was laced with some kind of arsenic or something. Cooties.
What's wrong with this girl?
Yeah, she's got cigars in her purse. What's wrong with this picture? Thanks, Richard. 303-382-1150. He doesn't know they were making them and giving them away at the talk radio conference. Robert on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I just wanted to chime in too. As far as I think there needs to be a public service announcement or a billboard as far as people being aware of other people. I think, as you said, you know,
They don't notice they're there?
No. Yeah, I mean...
Excuse me, I thought you were a tree?
Even, it comes down to, I mean, things like driving around town, you know, people not letting people in and people not letting people pass and such things.
Well, you're right. You are right about that, because in England, where a lot of people, it's a small country, many people are related to each other, there is a level of civility, even just in Italy. I just got back from Italy about a month ago, and there's an ease and a civility that we are really losing in this country, where everybody thinks they're an individual and they have no connection with anybody else. But you're right. In England, they're not cutting each other off because they could be related to each other. And when you think you could be related to somebody, you treat them differently.
And let me give you another scenario. I just got home from a late flight. It's me and my son. My son's grandmother just got word that she only had so much time left to live and stuff like that. So we were in our own mood. And we go to pick up our luggage, and there's families all around the same luggage carousel. And they've got their whole family around the luggage carousel. And they've got people laying on the floor. They got their baggage laid out. And I say, excuse me, to get through to get my luggage. And there's little kids that are looking at the ceiling, counting the dots in the ceiling. And I just wanted to put out a public service announcement that people could just pull their family away from the luggage, get a couple people to go in, get the luggage and come out, and it all worked together.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate your call.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Libs love her.
True love is the greatest thing in the world.
Conservatives hate her.
Ignorant.
We have absolutely nothing in common.
And we all know her. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm David Collins, owner of Scout Productions, the small business behind Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. You know, our talent search for the Fab Five was no simple task, but at least financing it was. We actually covered our travel expenses using the membership rewards points we had earned on our American Express business cards.
With Open the Small Business Network, you can make big things happen when you have an American Express business card. To apply, call 1-800-605-OPEN.
Enrollment in the membership rewards program required. Fees and terms may vary. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Can you spare just two mornings or afternoons a month? Register now for volunteer orientation at the Molly Brown House Museum. Informational sessions will be held March 2nd at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Each session lasts 1.5 hours and includes a museum tour and a gathering with current volunteers. Become a museum tour guide, outreach speaker, cook, or serve Victorian parlor teas. To learn more about volunteering at the Molly Brown House, call 303-832-4092 or go to www.mollybrown.org.
A free Key business checking account can increase the mileage of your bottom line. Visit your local Key Center today for details. Balance requirements and transaction limits apply. Key Bank. Achieve anything.
Talk to Lionel.
Federal officials said they favored premarital education programs that focus on high school students. Now let's get down to brass tacks. Question number one. Do you want the federal government teaching, promoting marriage? No. The worst thing to do to promote anything is the government. The government. It's terrible.
Lionel, weeknights from 9 p.m. to midnight on AM 1150 KNRC. It's an epidemic of massive proportions.
And she's buying a stairway to heaven.
People sitting through mind-numbing classic rock songs that they've heard for the 4 millionth time in order to get crucial information that they need.
I'm a honky-tonk woman.
There is help out there in the radio wasteland. AM 1150 KNRC. With the most entertaining talk in Denver. News at the top and 35 past each hour and traffic reports throughout the day. It's not too late. Help is on your radio.
I'm a free bird. Yeah.
Hear both sides. AM 1150 KNRC. Hear more live weekend talk than any Denver radio station. Listen for Ben Ferguson live Sunday nights at 6 p.m. exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:56 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. We just have a few minutes left. I'm getting emails. Eric says Eddie's right about the Clinton administration putting up the barricades. It was after the second or third helicopter small plane crashed on the White House lawn. And also, Richard says, even though Pennsylvania Avenue was blocked due to the Oklahoma federal building bombing, I believe that there were several attempts to fire on the White House. And I don't know about that, but Joe Anderson, our producer, did some research, and some of these barricades, we thought it was during George H.W. Bush's administration. That's what Tom Reed said, and maybe it was also. But Bill Clinton, there were barricades put up in Bill Clinton's administration. So, Eddie, you were correct. Thank you for correcting the record. Karen, in Arvada, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I figure that the problem you had was that you weren't traveling with someone. 2 years ago, took my then 8-year-old daughter to visit Grandma, and this was her first plane flight. And so she's busily going through all of the stuff in the pocket in front, and we're talking about the exits and the safety and all that stuff. And then she pulls out the air sickness bag. And the guy that's sitting on the other side of her is like, oh, gosh, this pain-in-the-neck little kid's going to be sitting next to me for the next 3 hours. And he wasn't very happy about it. So I explained to her that if she needed to use the air sickness bag, she needed to tell me immediately. He promptly got up and found another seat.
Why didn't I think of that?
There you go.
Thank you, Karen. Bye. 303-321-1150. Van in Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
I've been playing around with that, we're all one organism thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is kind of like a boil, and I just say you lanced it.
Oh, all right, Van. Thank you very much for that. I'm not sure I did. I think I was not a... I don't think I was... I think Miss Manners would throw me out of etiquette land. She wouldn't allow me to collect her books anymore or to write about them, which I have done. That's about it for today. Doug Kellett is up next. He was also in Washington, D.C., so I'm sure he has stories to share as well. He did the show live from Washington, D.C., which was a lot of effort to do that and to be at the conference at the same time. Doug Kellett from 3 to 6. 6 to 9, Michael Reagan. Start your day with Jimmy Lakey from 6 to 10 a. 10 to noon, Bill O'Reilly. And I hope I see you tomorrow noon to 3. We'll have lunch together. If you turn me on, then I'll try and turn you on. That's the way it works. I have a lot of people that I want to thank. I want to thank Joe Anderson for his hard work. I want to thank Jordan Lyles for his hard work. I want to thank all of you who called and listened today. I really appreciated your efforts. And more than ever, let's acknowledge each other in some way, like we live in small towns. When I was visiting my brother, who lives in a small town in North Carolina, people just said hello to each other on the streets. And I've been living in big cities for so long. You know, they'd say good morning. They didn't know who you were. And I thought, wow, that's so nice. We all used to do that somewhere along the line, and we've all ceased doing that. So think about doing that. And I'll see you here, same place, same time, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC. Do something generous, leave the world a better place than you found it, and clean up some little mess in your life, okay?
KNRC 1150. Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Evan Haining. Jean Bertrand Aristide left town on his own, and he was not forced out at gunpoint. That's what Secretary of State Colin Powell is saying about reported accusations by Aristide, who claims that Americans took part in a coup against him. There are now about 200 U.S. Marines in Haiti, but there could be 10 times that many before too long. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says he thinks the U.S. may temporarily provide as many as 2,000 out of a possible 5,000 international troops.
The U.S. will take on the initial leadership of the multinational interim force in Haiti. The leadership of the follow-on U.N. force will be determined in the period ahead. Indeed, the leadership of the interim force might very well pass even before the U.N. force arrives.
Stocks rose Monday after manufacturing data indicated a rebound in hiring may be on the way. The Dow was up 93 points, S&P added 11, NASDAQ climbed 28. Evan Haining, NBC News Radio.
NBC Tonight. Meet the fearless women of an all-new, all-female Fear Factor. Then, a hot all-new Las Vegas with the Lord of the Rings, Sean Astin, as the luckiest guy in Vegas.
I just won $1 million!
Then, it's here.
I need love.
The finale of Average Joe 2 Hawaii.